Blog Talk Radio.
Big Daddy Lipson was a man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny United had the arm of a Superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. With Oscar quarterback like Donnie Lou Jack or even Sid Luckman, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the galloping ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Tittle, Allie Madison, hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sport of king, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
Yes, sir, you're all fine. Everybody doing today? We're coming at you with a hot new episode of CNT Firestorm, where we bring you the best and brightest in the world of football. We just bring kind of everything, you know. Well, we bring you unbiased. Well, we bring you completely biased, but uninfluenced opinions on whatever we talk about here. We make sure we keep it real. I'm your boy, Cali Mike. With me right now, we got our boy from the Windy City, Chi-Town. Mike, what's going on, Mike?
What's going on, everybody? I know what we were saying about our intro. Ed Sprinkle, Chicago Bear legend, Hall of Famer, passed away yesterday. Just want to give it a dedicated show.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he passed away. They said 90 years old. So, you know, he lived a good long life, you know. But yeah, just shout out to him. Yeah, I found out I listened to it on the radio yesterday, so. It's for you, Ed Sprinkle, and my beloved Chicago Bears. I think we can do something special this year. If we do something special, it's for you, man.
That's something. Well, just, you know, to give a name a shout-out, I don't play the song, but it's name of it. So, you know, 90 years, you live a full life, you know, 90 years. We're like a third of the way there, man. That's crazy when you think about it, you know. That's a full life, man. You know, you kind of... Trying to get down about that. How's everything going up
there
on the side, man?
Doing all right, man. You know, taking it day by day. It's weather been kind of not being
there.
Summer-like. It's not been too summer-like. Today's like in the 70s, man. You know me, I like it hot, you know. It's not my liking, man. But at least it's not bitter cold, you know. But
Yeah. Let's get things started off here real quick on the headlines. First thing I want to talk about is I want to talk about the recent Pro Football Hall of Fame inductees. Me and you kind of went back and forth because we kind of went back and forth over Chris Carter over Tim Brown. And now that I got you on air, so you came back with some of your statements, what is it that makes Chris Carter better than Tim Brown to you?
Man, Chris, you know, both of them, no doubt, man, hey, it is one of those things with the numbers, you know, crunch a lot, generally. They both, you know, like I said, Tim Brown's going to be a Hall of Famer, but I just think Chris Carter is better. I just think.
But Tim Brown has a better number. That's the thing.
Well, sometimes it's not about the numbers, man. Remember our good old favorite caller, Tony Wiley, said, I don't care about stats and all that type of stuff, even though it's a different category. But, hey, I mean, you made a valid point, really. Tim Brown never had a, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, but Chris Carter, I'm just looking at the man's hands and his footwork and the way he just get open. I just think he was better, man. Make unbelievable catches. I just, the man was bad, you know.
I mean, Carter had hands. I mean, but, you know, the one thing, see, this, you know, it's kind of like, you know, what I said. I mean, like I say, maybe you saw more, you know, more Vikings games than I did because that's your area. But, you know, like I said, when I look at these guys pound for pound and I look at everything Chris Carter, I mean, like I say, you guys got to realize, Chris Carter, the first, you know, pretty much 7-8 years of his career was relatively quiet, you know. And I know a lot of it was due, you know, to his substance abuse issues and whatnot. But, you know, basically, you know, when he was in Philly, he was a bust. You know, and he got traded out of Philly to
Philly released him. Remember, Buddy Ryan released him because, you know,
he got an addiction, alcohol and drugs.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he had potential, but I mean, you know, like I said, when I look at everything, like I said, I look at, you know, the quarterbacks that they had passing the ball. I look at what Tim Brown, you know, brought to the table. I mean, you know, like I said, he was very, you know, Tim, like, you know, it's like I wrote when we were talking about it on Facebook. Tim Brown got overlooked by, you know, got outshined by Jerry Rice, you know, just because they were both, you know, in close proximity. And they played for, you know, played the same position for rivals, you know. So he kind of got outshined by Jerry Rice for, you know, pretty much all of his career. But, you know, when you look at what Tim Brown used to do, like I said, with mediocre quarterbacks, you know, not to mention he was a, you know, excellent punt returner, kick returner. You know, like I said, I just, you know, man, like I said, and that might be maybe just because I watch, you know, more Tim Brown games, but you know, what do you think about the recent inductees? What do you think about Andre Reed?
I mean, Andre Reed, I mean, that guy, right, he should have been in. I mean, by the time he retired, he was one of, you know, top, you know, for receptions, and, you know, he's been retired, you know, for a good minute now, you know. So, like, it took that long. Just like Art Monk, when they both retired, they was up there where, okay, he's going to get in, and it took that long. But I'm glad he got in, you know, and two, I didn't know it was one stat. He's tied with Jerry Rice, I think, for more receptions during the year over, I think it was one stat. I think like who had most receptions, I think over 50 over the past consecutive years. He tied, I know, with Terrell Owens, Jerry Rice, someone else. They had that statistic, and he's up there. The man been retired for a while, so that just tells you, man. Like, compared to the years, over 50 receptions.
He's a running gentleman with Thurman Thomas there, he put up pretty good stats, he wasn't really a kind of threat guy, but he was number one, he had excellent hands. You know, that's, when you play that wide receiver position, you got to get hands to make yourself a career. He did, though. Yeah, I'm looking at the stats right here. Yeah, you know, pretty good stats. He actually only had four seasons over 1,000 yard receiving, over 1,000 receiving yards, though, which is kind of, surprising for a guy, you know, that prolific of a wide receiver.
The man is looking at it now, Mike. He's been retired since 2000, man. Back when we was in college, bro. That's a decade, you know, 14 years. It took him, you know, 9 years to get in the Hall of Fame. I was like, man, you know, that was a long time, man. Like I said, it shouldn't have took that long for him to get in.
Yeah. With the receivers, it seems like they kind of make these guys, I mean, you know, they kind of, you know, they're kind of sketchy, you know, with the receivers. And then the things we were talking about with Texans, a couple of his guys online, we were talking about it, was Randy Moss and Terrell Owens, you know. And you got people, and, you know, like, statistically-wise, these two are literally 2 and 3 behind Jerry Rice, you know. But you got guys who are saying that they don't think they should make the Hall of Fame. By the way, we got that bird in mouth of the South, guys. I'm not just on with it. Guys, what do you think about that, about T.O., you know, people thinking that T.O. and Randy Moss shouldn't make the Hall of Fame?
What do I think about people saying that T.O. shouldn't make the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, him and Randy, you know, a lot of people are, you know, now they're retired, you know, a lot of people are saying they don't think they should make it.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, man. I mean, come on, man. They just put their personal issues, cloud their realistic views. I mean, come on, you're going to say that Terrell Owens, I mean, or Randy Moss didn't make the Hall of Fame? I mean, come on, man. That's ridiculous. And my rule for the Hall of Fame, I go by the Skip Bayless rule for the Hall of Fame. You know, you say the name, if you have to think about the person, if he's a Hall of Famer or not, then he's not a Hall of Famer. You know, you say the name, and it just says, hey, he's a Hall of Famer, he's a Hall of Famer. You know, Jerry Rice, Hall of Fame. Terrell Owens, Hall of Fame. Randy Moss, Hall of Fame. You know.
Both of those should be first ballot Hall of Famers, too. But, you know, I think one of y'all things sent a text. I think, that was Jamal on Facebook. Matter of fact, was there ever Hall of Fame on Hall of Fame night, saying that Terrell Owens a Hall of Famer. You know, I'm like, yeah, he is. And I think he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but we all know people going to have the critics and all that type of stuff saying, but he is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
You know, Owens is the number two all-time receiving yardage, you know, leader behind Jerry Rice in NFL history, and Randy Moss is number three. You know, so like I said, and then, you know, and then Randy Moss is number two in touchdowns, and Owens is number three. You know, so.
And these guys ain't Hall of Famers. Oh my God!
It's almost laughable, but. You know, the way that they pull this crap with these Hall of Fame, I mean, we all, you know, like I said, we kind of know how they like to get down with this kind of stuff. So, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it would be ugly if they didn't make it. You know, it would be really ugly. So,
yeah,
you know,
Go ahead, Claudio.
No, I was saying, and Terrell Owens has been out of the league for about 3 years, right? I'm thinking they're hoping that somebody breaks these records between now and the times that they're eligible to give their extra argument that they're not a Hall of Famer.
You already know there's a log jam with it. But y'all still there? I thought I lost you. Okay. I was going to say, you know, next year they were saying, you know, Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt, they're going to be in the ballot next year. So, and I already said it now. I hate to say it, Tino, too. You know, they are Hall of Famers. I don't think they got a shot, man, to next year. It's going to come down to Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce. It's going to come down to Tim Brown and Marvin Harrison. Both of them going to eat up votes. One of them is going to crank.
Well, let's see. Torrey Holt ain't going in before Tim Brown.
He's not going in before Marvin Harrison either.
Well, you know, you look at Isaac Bruce is number, which I didn't know. Isaac Bruce number four all time. I didn't know that. He's number four all time in terms of receiving yardage. And Tony Gonzalez is number five. Tim Brown's number six. Marvin Harrison's number seven. And Torrey Holt is number 12. So, you know, Andre Reed just made it. He was number 13. Like I said, I don't know. The way they do these things is so weird. Like I said, I'm guessing Tim Brown has to be a shoe-in for next year. But, you know, Isaac Bruce is there. So, you know,
Marvin Harrison,
I mean,
And Marvin Harrison, like I said.
Really? Hold up.
It's going to come down. Like I said, it's going to be a toss-up between either Brown or Harrison. If you got to look over years, waiting, I have to put this on. You got to say Brown, but you got to say
Marvin Harrison was a finalist this year and didn't make it over Andre Reed.
Yeah, Andre Reed came so close last year with Chris Carter. I guess, you know, it came out and look at, okay, when he retired, so I don't.
Yeah, maybe they're going to make him go. Maybe they're going to make him go in order. So maybe Tim Brown will go next year.
If one doesn't get in next year, like I say, if Tim Brown gets in next year, then Marvin Harrison will get in for 2016. If Harrison gets in next year, then Tim Brown get in the following year, I think.
I thought Marvin Harrison was up next year.
Yeah, it's still a possibility. It's going to come down between either him or Tim Brown.
Well, Marvin Harrison in 2014, yeah, he was a finalist this year.
Wow, yep. He didn't get in? Wow.
Nope.
Wow.
Some people thought he was going to get in. I almost had a half right of predicting who got in, but, you know, he didn't get in.
It didn't look like, I mean, it looks like, because Terrell Owens hasn't played since 2010, and it's going to be 5 years after next year. So and the closest guy, I think Tony Gonzalez is still playing.
Nah, he just
technically he's still on the roster. He technically has not retired yet.
Okay, so yeah, Tony the closest active player is Larry Fitzgerald, who has 87 touchdowns, and Antonio Gates got 87 too, and Reggie Wayne got 80 touchdowns. I don't see them having like huge. I don't see them catching Terrell Owens. But my point is, Terrell Owens is going to be in that same position next year.
Only guy I can say that probably have a chance, to doing something. Let's see what Calvin Johnson does.
No, I'm talking about what I was saying was, like, I was thinking that these writers and stuff are going to have to pray that some receivers come up and try to break Ross and Owens records to try to give a case for them not to be in the Hall of Fame, because they're going to try to come up with every reason for them not to be in the Hall of Fame. But it looks like their numbers are so good that I don't think any active player can come in there and break into their range. I don't think there's anyone. The closest one is...
I don't think so either. Look at it like this. Calvin Johnson is 29 years old, and he only has 66 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's in 7 years. So it would take him another 7 years, you know, if he matched his first seven, which, you know, probably won't. It would take him another seven just to get to 132, and that's still 20 behind. That would still be 20 behind Terrell Owens.
Yep.
You know, what those guys did in the league, you know, like I said, with scoring touchdowns, you know, that was amazing. I'm looking at, you know, T.O. had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years of 10-plus touchdowns, you know, for a wide receiver. That's amazing, you know. Randy Moss, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You know, he had 9 years, and he had over 15 touchdowns 4 times. So, you know, like I said, that's pretty much amazing. You know, only guy you know who was doing that was Jamal.
I mean, but do you think? I mean, but the numbers are so staggering. They're going to have to vote this Terrell Owens first ballot. They're going to have to.
I mean, like I said, it's weird though. I mean, like I said, I mean, honestly, look. I mean, okay. Look at how they've kept Kevin Green out.
Yeah, his numbers is right up there. Matter of fact, his numbers is better than Strahan's numbers, and he's not in.
Yeah. Dude is a sack master. He's still has not gotten into the Hall of Fame yet. And it's weird, but if you look at they put in Strahan, which Strahan has won defensive MVP, I guess, and he did have the 22 sack season, but you look at that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
He's had six seasons over 10 sacks. And you look at Kevin Green. Kevin Green had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He had 10 seasons of 10-plus sacks. You know, dude had 150 sacks is a lot, you know. So that's a lot of sacks, you know. So, but, you know, they put in Strahan and, Strahan had 140 sacks, you know. So, I mean, I guess I don't know. The way they do these things, you know, really can't tell, you know, how they're going to do it. I mean,
And two, Kelly Mike, I forgot you didn't mention the guy who helped your team win a couple bowls in the 80s, man.
Charles
Hilly.
Yeah.
I think lots of agree all across the field. Hilly should have got in over Michael Strahan. I had him going in this year, and I think he's going to crack it and get it in next year. It's going to come down between him and Kevin Green, but I think Hilly going to get it. I think I saw one predictions for expert on CBSSports.com for next year, 2015. He had Hilly getting in. It's going to be
talking
man. About.
I'll take Kevin Green over Haley. I mean,
I don't know about that. I mean, the big game,
I don't know about that.
He did with the 49ers and the Cowboys, Kelly Mike.
Haley only has, he only has 100 sacks. You know, Kevin Green has 60 more sacks than him. That's a lot. I mean, let's say this: you bring in Charles Haley, then if Charles Haley is a Hall of Famer, is Jason Taylor a Hall of Famer?
Of course, definitely. Jason Taylor is a first to me should be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Jason Taylor?
Yes.
I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. I put him in the Hall of Fame, yeah. But
I think he's a first ballot.
Jason Taylor is a first ballot Hall of Famer. When you got first ballot Hall of Famer, that's kind of like rare air. Would you compare Jason Taylor to Reggie White ever?
No.
To me, athletically, most gifted, but I wouldn't go that far and put him over Reggie White. But I mean, his
not,
error
not,
is
not over Reggie White. Could you ever compare those?
I think it. Nah. I don't really think, since coming out, really anybody kind of compared someone to Reggie White. But I say this about Jason Taylor. I think in his era, he was one of the best ends in his era.
Yeah.
If he wasn't the best, he was in the top three.
Hey, guys, hey, give me 5 minutes. I got to take a five-minute break, yo. I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Yeah, go ahead. That's what I'm saying, Mike. Okay, when you talk about Hall of Fame, though, I mean, is best of your era, is that good enough?
I mean, he put up the numbers and did what he had to do. You know, he didn't win a Super Bowl, but we all know. It's hard to win it, but he was on some good defenses in Miami. I mean, anytime we was at FAMU, Miami had some good defenses. Defenses good enough to get to the Super Bowl. They didn't have no.
They did when they had Patrick Surtain and all those guys. Yeah, they were pretty good in Zach Thomas. Let's say this, Mike. Okay, so if Jason Taylor goes, does Zach Thomas go? Zach Thomas was, a lot of people would say Zach Thomas was the best defensive player on that team.
I think he was one of the best. I think Jason Taylor, but I think Zach Thomas is a Hall of Famer, but I don't think he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think he might either go.
But do you think Jason Taylor is, though?
I'm talking about Taylor being first. They both, to me, are Hall of Famers, but I think Jason Taylor, to me, is a first ballot. I think Zach Thomas, depends on looking at the linebackers, I think he's going to probably either be a second or third. I don't know if he's going to get in on the first ballot. I think he's going to be second or third ballot.
We're starting to see
some more linebackers that's coming in, like you said, coming up. You know, Ray Lewis, we all know he's a first ballot. Ray Lewis and Brian Urlacher are going to be in the same same ballot. And, you know, they say both of them could go in the same time, which if it happens, I'll be wild. But I think, you know, Lewis is a shoo-in for one. I feel like it might get the second time.
Wait a minute, Mike. Did you say Brian Urlacher?
Yeah, I'm saying, but they're going to be in the same ballot when they come out, Ray Lewis and Urlacher. But some say both might get in the same time, which I'm not too sure. You know, I know Lewis is going to be locked on the first. I think Urlacher will probably get in the second.
I don't know about Urlacher, but let me
be in all the
family. I'm back on, man. Yeah. Who you put?
Okay, hold on.
Mike, you talking about Urlacher not being Hall of Famer?
I don't know.
Urlacher, you may not know, but he has that complexion to put him as the first ballot. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He is Hall of Famer, but yeah. I'm not sure he's gonna get in on the first ballot. That's why I say Ray Lewis.
Urlacher's gonna get in first ballot.
But he's getting in on the same try as Ray Lewis, though. And we all know Ray Lewis is gonna get in on the first ballot.
Well, yeah, they'll put Ray Lewis and Urlacher on the same ballot then.
You think they'll have two linebackers?
Yeah, they'll have two linebackers on the same card. You know, I mean,
okay,
come on,
yeah, man. I'm looking at Urlacher. Urlacher, he's an 8-time Pro Bowler, 4-time All-Pro. Yeah,
that's enough right there. I mean, Wes Welker will get in the Hall of Fame. Watch. They'll put Wes Welker in the Hall of Fame, man. Now, is he a Hall of Famer? Shot down. You had to think about it. And if you have to think about it, he's not a Hall of Famer. But the fact that Wes Welker has to protect the seat to protect, you know why, he'll get in.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. While you were gone.
Because you remember, Shottown, we were at FAMU, and you were wondering why Jim Kelly was the first ballot Hall of Famer. You remember you were saying that at FAMU? You remember that, Shottown? Huh?
Somehow John Kelly being a first ballot Hall of Famer or being a Hall of Famer, period.
A first ballot. You were like, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I kind of like, I mean, Kelly was, yeah, Jim Kelly was good. I mean, great, but I wasn't sure of putting him as a
first ballot. Heck no. I didn't think he was a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Like Steve Young. I don't, you got a good memory about Kelly, but I was arguing about, you know, Kelly Mike, the one who replaced the great one, Steve Young. I was saying, like, Steve Young's the first ballot Hall of Famer. Steve Young's going the first ballot with Dan Marino. Like, heck no. I mean, Steve Young, I think he deserved a Hall of Fame, but not the same time as Dan Marino, man. No way.
Hold up. You think that Dan Marino is better than Steve Young?
Of course.
Yeah, of course. You don't think Dan Marino was better than Steve Young? Yes, he is. Yes.
Based on what?
Look at the numbers. The longevity. Come on, man.
The numbers.
Steve Young inherited a dynasty. If you really think about it, he inherited a dynasty.
And Steve Young. And also, Cal Mike, you need to thank Clydesdale Giants and, I mean, I should say Roger Clegg for fumbling that ball in that 1990 NFC Championship game, because that had not happened, y'all wouldn't be Buffalo.
Young.
I think Buffalo was going to flash y'all, Cal Mike.
I think they would have. I put Dan Marino over Steve Young, yes. You put Dan Marino on those 49ers teams? Hold on. You put Dan Marino on those 49ers teams?
Dan Marino, who never won a Super Bowl. Dan Marino, who's thrown 20. Dan Marino, who's thrown 200.
He's talking about Super Bowl. Oh, man.
He's thrown 252 interceptions over his career. That's the guy. That's over a 20.
Yeah, hold on. I want to put put Dan Marino over Steve Young. Hold on. Let me put the 510 on. Who's 510?
That's not even an argument, Cali Mike. We talking about Joe Montana, then, yeah.
Who's this 510? 510, speak.
Hello?
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 Hello? Hi.
Hello?
Hi, I know who this is.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, I just want to weigh in on the Hall of Fame. First of all award shows are political. I mean, the only difference between most award shows versus an athletic award show is we could add up the numbers of individual players and see who's the better man and who should be and who shouldn't be. Second of all, Terrell Owens is living the life of the Biz Markie song. Nobody wants to be down when you're down and out. He put in the work, and they're going to dog him anyway because everybody's dogging him. And I hate that because I think he's a good athlete. Third of all, I really like your show. I enjoy what you guys do, and I'm going to call in more.
Thank you.
Please go.
Definitely. We're gonna get into the hair hats a little later. So yeah, we want you to come and talk about that real quick. You know.
Please go.
Yeah, because I'm a Raider fan.
This is my mom. She's calling to harass and bother me.
What?
This is
I'm your what?
Oh, okay. This is Callie's mama.
This is my mother.
20-year
veteran of
talk about the hair.
This is my mom, 20-year veteran of radio and television.
I guess I'm busted.
We're gonna talk about the hair hats a little later.
I'll call back in when you get around to the Raiders, because I am a huge Raider fan, and I think they're gonna do it this time around.
I'm gonna go ahead and disconnect you now. Thank you for this. And
all right, keep up the good work, fellas.
Bye, Mikey.
Thank you.
Bye, bye.
Bye.
All right, we're gonna bring our favorite person on too.
I know, Kelly and Mike. I know you and your mom.
Hey,
I guess y'all be having y'all debate with the Niners and the Raiders. I know at heart you are all Niner fan, Kelly and Mike.
Oh yeah.
What's up, Wiley? You on Wiley?
What's up, fellas?
Hey,
what's going on?
Yay!
What's going on? What's going on?
Tony,
Steve Young.
Hold on. Let me ask you the question. Steve Young or Dan Marino?
Absolutely, Dan Marino. Come on.
Tony, you are the main
that's
one that all you care about is winning.
Okay. But like Clausell said, Steve Young inherited a dynasty. We ain't going to go into who else in college football right now inherited something good and won a national championship last year. But Steve Young walked into a great situation. Dan Marino did not walk into a great situation, and
Dan
he
Marino,
was in a conference that was
in,
a – come
Dan
on.
Dan Marino walked into the Dolphins coming off of what? Were they? They were one of the best teams in the 70s.
Okay, but they were in a very weak division compared to an AFC that had the Pittsburgh Steelers in it.
Oh, you can't compare with Dan Marino. What are you talking about? The Dolphins were one of the best teams of the 70s. Yeah, in the early 70s, not in the late 70s. What are you talking about?
Exactly, mid 70s, the Steelers took over.
Hold on, time out. I'm looking at the Dolphins record here.
Oh, yeah, here we go again. He's going
to... I want to talk facts. Okay. In 1977, they were 10-4. In 1978, they were 11-5. In 1979, they were 10-6.
But they get in the playoffs and get blasted by the Steelers.
But they weren't, okay,
the
were they
Steelers
team,
was the
though,
team of the 70s. The Steelers was the team of the 70s. Yes. What do you mean? They won four Super Bowls.
From cheating. Yeah, we've already went over that.
Games too, yeah.
They won
Come
four
on.
Bowls.
Do what?
Through cheating.
The Steelers were the team of the 70s. They won four Super Bowls in the 70s. Come on.
Yeah. Okay, now look. Let's talk about facts. Dan Marino did not walk into a bad situation in Miami. Okay, Dan Marino.
He didn't walk into a good one.
Even if he did, he never won. They went to the Super Bowl second year playing the Niners and got crushed.
Oh, wow. And you act like Steve Young. You act like Steve Young came in and just remade San Francisco. Do you forget a guy named Joe Montana?
You mean that Joe Montana was injured in the Niners who
who really played a dominant, who were getting beat by a dominant Cowboys team until Steve Young led him, led him to a Super Bowl in 95.
But the thing is, they already had a core set up for San Francisco. He didn't come in and remake the team.
Did the Cowboys run the early 90s, yes or no?
Yeah, I'll give them that.
Okay, so Steve Young had to overcome that.
Okay, but he didn't have to overcome it because he had a bad team. There was just another team that was better.
That team,
no. That team that Steve Young went to the Super Bowl with was a completely different team than that than those 80 team. The only player who was similar was Jerry Rice and John Taylor. Those were completely different teams.
John Taylor wasn't on those teams. He wasn't on those Steve Young teams. John Taylor wasn't on those Steve Young teams.
Taylor was on that.
I just said the only player that was the same was Jerry Rice and John Taylor.
No, John Taylor wasn't on those teams.
Yes.
Yeah, he was on the 94 team.
He was on the 94 team.
Yeah, Kelly Mike. Am I going to be able to... Kelly Mike, am I going to be able to talk unpolitically correct here, or is your mom going to be mad at me, dude?
Uh-oh.
What is
She's on the studio.
Hey, you know what I normally do over here. You know, since your mom's been on tonight, I know she's listening.
His
so
mom,
I gotta be careful tonight, right?
His mom's in the studio.
Go ahead, man.
Oh, she's in the studio. Oh, wow. I really gotta be careful tonight.
Nah, go ahead.
Okay.
No, I'll respect her. I'll respect your mother. Hello, Mrs. Kelly Mike. How are you doing?
Anyway, the Niners team was completely different. The defense was completely retooled. They were led by Deion Sanders. Yeah, a different running game with Richard
Whatever. But you're missing the point. When you're comparing Dan Marino as a quarterback versus Steve Young as a quarterback, Dan Marino did way more for his team than Steve Young did for his team.
Based on what?
Based on the fact that Dan Marino had a harder time in the division he was in and in the conference he was in at the time he was in it than Steve Young did for his team and at the time that the conference he was in and the division he was in. The AFC of the 70s and 80s was harder than the NFC of the late 90s. Come on.
What? We all know that.
Yes.
Look at who won the Super Bowls in them years.
AFC or NFC? Come on.
AFC.
Okay, that means the AFC was a tougher division.
No, we're not gonna go by a whole division. We're gonna go by their division. The Jets, the Colts.
Oh, come on. Come on. Come on now.
Those teams stunk.
The Patriots and the A's.
No, the Colts did not suck back then. The Baltimore Colts did not suck.
They did. I'm looking at their record right now. They was 4-11. In 1984 they was 4-11.
Okay, you're talking 1 year. They didn't suck the whole time.
The next year they were 5-11. the next year they were 4. They were 3-13. And the Bills.
You got to realize the divisions have switched a little since then. So
look at the teams that was back there with Dan Marino. Like I say, you had the Colts.
His whole division sucked.
The Patriots was the only team that was decent back in that division back then. The Bills didn't get good until the late 80s.
Okay, but at the same time, their whole division from top to bottom sucked.
So that would make it easier for the Dolphins to be successful then, right?
It wouldn't make it easier to be successful in the playoffs when everybody in your division sucked. Even if you won your division, the second you got into the playoffs, you're going to get beat by a good team.
Nah, dude, the NFC.
Yes.
The NFC was dominant in football in the 80s and
90s. Come on. Think about it. If all four of your teams in your division suck, even if you win your division, the second you get in the playoffs to play a good team, you're going to lose.
I'm saying most of the teams in the AFC suck. Like I say, the NFC was by far dominant in the 80s and 90s, by far. I think the AFC –
San Francisco dominated – and then Dallas won a couple, but other than that,
before the Broncos, when was the last time the AFC had won a Super Bowl?
A long time.
No,
long ass time.
I can't right off the top of my head. I'm not looking at a computer to look at that.
It might have been y'all. I'm thinking it might have been the Patriots. I mean, it might have been the Steelers back in '78. I'm trying to think. Let's see, '70. No, it was
the problem back then was we kept sending the Buffalo Bills to the Super Bowl and they kept getting blasted.
Other than the 1990 Super Bowl, though, I mean, Buffalo had their chance, man.
Buffalo had their chance every year. Buffalo was the best offense in the AFC every year. They were blowing teams out, but they didn't have no defense.
They had a better chance in 90, though, man. Like I said, if no one hit that kick would have went right, you know, but they had it.
The point is, hard to win a Super Bowl, and Steve Young won a
Super
Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. And you said Steve Young was better than Marino.
Steve Young
thing about Jim Kelly first ballot, I would have put him on first ballot. Jim Kelly was bad. If you watch Jim Kelly, the Buffalo Bills were amazing. They were blowing teams out. They just did not have a defense. Once they got into that Super Bowl game, they didn't have a defense to stop the other side.
Oh, they had a defense now.
They had a defense. Bruce Smith on there, Cordelia Pennington. You're talking one or two players, but a defense is not one or two players.
No, a defense is not made up of one or two players. There are 11 players, and they had weak spots that got exploited every single Super Bowl.
No, they just played better teams, man. I mean,
they just
played better teams, man. Those Cowboys teams, that Redskins team in 90 with Mark Griffin, even though Mark Griffin was an okay quarterback, man, the rest of that team was stacked, yo. I mean,
Rippon was MVP that year, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was MVP that year. And that Giants team, a lot of people sleep on that Giants team. Giants was like 11-0 that year. They started off winning the first 11-12 games.
That's what I'm trying to say. The NFC was dominant. The NFC was dominant over the AFC pretty like all of the 80s. And most of the, like I said, I honestly, before the Broncos went the last time, when was the last time they, before the Broncos, I don't think the AFC had won the damn Super Bowl since the Raiders in the 83.
I'm not sitting in front of a computer. I couldn't tell you that.
Yeah, it was the Raiders. The Raiders. The NFC had that long stretch, and it was the last team was the Raiders when they beat.
Okay,
the
but the AFC had long stretches too. So you know, don't act like the NFC has done something special because the AFC had long stretches too.
Tony, that's 15 years, man. The AFC has never had that stretch. It wasn't like the NFC stretch, man. I mean, that was a stretch right there. Because even in the 70s, because people don't remember, the Cowboys won a Super Bowl, I think, in the 70s, too. I think the Colts
Cowboys
won a Super
won
Bowl
two.
In the 70s. They won two. Oh, yeah, they did.
The Colts
two
are in the AFC.
No, but they were in the they were in the AFC. My bad. You're right.
Yeah, no, the Cowboys.
They were in Baltimore then.
Let's see. It was the the teams that won in the 70s.
Cowboys.
The Steelers won 4. The Cowboys won 2. Oh no, the Dolphins. Yeah, Steelers, Cowboys, Dolphins, Raiders were all the teams that won in the 70s.
And that's all AFC except for Dallas
won 2. Who broke all that up? That's what I'm saying. It's never. But you got to look from 83 to 98. It was all NFC.
Yep.
Well, like I said, I don't recall that. I'm a Steelers fan, so the rest of the NFL did not matter to me at that time. If the Steelers sucked, what they really did in the 80s, boy, the Steelers were horrible in the 80s, but I'm going to leave that alone.
Yeah,
Yeah, they didn't get Dan Marino, man. They messed up.
Yep. Yeah, your great owner wanted for Dan Marino, but the son went with Chuck Noll. Chuck Noll wanted to reveal the defense. That's a mistake.
I remember when we had what was old boy's name, Donaldson or something like that. I think it was Donaldson, white boy.
You mean right before
Slash.
Yeah, that was Neil O'Donnell.
O'Donnell, yes, boy, he was horrible.
To me, in my opinion, '95.
He took y'all to the Super Bowl, though.
Whatever. He was horrible.
He
was horrible.
He had four interceptions in that Super Bowl.
He was horrible. He was horrible.
Yeah, LeVar Kirkland still ain't over that yet either. Remember he was on the show? He feel like he was over
that
yet.
Yeah, yeah.
He was horrible. He was the Tony Romo of the 1980s.
I don't know about
that. Everybody wanted to talk about his statistics, but every time he got in a big game, he blew it. Every time.
They almost, I think, actually, you guys, who was that? I think, was that the Colts that almost beat y'all in the AFC?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the Colts, right, with Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Harbaugh, yeah.
And they almost beat you guys in the AFC, AFC Championship that year. I remember when they used to call Jim Harbaugh Captain Comeback, remember?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yep. And then they brought in Slash, and the second they brought in Slash, everybody wanted to start calling him gay. I was like, oh, Lord. But what is going on? What is going on in Pittsburgh, boy? We just struggled through some years.
Pittsburgh wasn't ready for Slash. That's why.
I loved him. I thought he was a great quarterback. I thought he was a great quarterback, but everybody was hating.
Will they ever be? They're trying to get rid of Mike Tomlin right now. But anyway.
I didn't know about that. Mike Tomlin said, you know the game, but they talking about Tomlin's still on the contract for two more years.
Tomlin ain't going. I keep telling y'all, the Steelers is a family. We don't just get rid of players, and we don't just get rid of coaches. We've only had four coaches in our history.
I don't know, man. Y'all got rid of Slash.
Well, Slash.
He never.
I'm gonna leave that alone.
Besides that one season where y'all let him play quarterback and he did good, y'all never really gave him a chance to play quarterback.
Well, it's because of our scheme on offense. We did not have that mobile quarterback scheme. That was not our scheme, and he was that mobile quarterback. He just didn't fit into the Steeler football scheme. We were fundamental team. Run, blast the ball, run, throw on third down, and have a solid defense. I mean, that was the way we used to do things. And he just, you know, when they brought him in with the idea that they were going to try to change that up a little bit. But, you know, he just wanted to take off running every time, and that's just not Steeler football at the time. I mean, things have changed, but at that time, we were still in the transition of changing from that fundamental run first down, run second down, throw third down scheme.
Okay. I want to go back because I want to get your opinion, Tony, on we talked about Hall of Famers kind of before we got sidetracked with this Dan Marino stuff. What did you think about the Hall of Famers this year? Like I said, I've never really been big on Strahan. I don't know about you guys. I mean, he had the one good year, but I never really thought that he was a and I mean, I know you're a Giants fan, Carzell, but, you know, try to be objective as possible. I mean,
I'm always objective.
I think Strahan deserved it. I do. I think he deserved.
First ballot.
Yeah. I think he deserved it.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
You think he was a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yes. He was a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I think he deserved it.
He had like two outstanding seasons. He had the 22 sacks, and then he had like 18 sacks the next year. But other than that, he was never, like I say, when I mean, I don't know. I look at the,
he
I guess maybe I look at.
He was a star when he made those, when he had the 22.5 stacks. He had a 15.5 sacks, 97, or 97 he had 14, 98 he had 15 sacks. I mean, he had a pretty good career, man.
Yeah, I mean, all in all,
he only had six seasons of 10-plus sacks, man.
Okay, I mean, that's pretty good.
That's pretty – okay, just think about – okay, look, what – think about what you just said. That's pretty good. It's not. Is it Hall of Fame worthy, though?
Yes, Hall of Fame worthy. Of course.
Absolutely.
But pretty good is not Hall of Fame. I think he might be one of the first players who's getting in based on his good guy reputation as opposed to...
Wow.
I half agree with you, Callie and Mike, and half disagree. I still say... that Charles Haley should have gotten him over Michael Strahan. I still think they messed up on that. But Michael Strahan, is a Hall of Famer, though.
Kevin Green there who has 20 more sacks than Strahan. So how is he not in the Hall of Fame?
No, no.
Yeah, that's
he played on a sorry. He played on a sorry Rams team. Is that factored in? I mean, think about it. The Claude, whatever his name is, that guy, he just got in from the Rams. Not the Rams, but the Falcons, Humphreys.
Yeah, I think that dude is like 90 years old, too. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, he was a dominant player, but he played for a sorry Falcons team.
But in that time, too, they didn't keep on the track record of sacks, though, either, though. It says on official record, he had like 122, so, you know, they didn't keep sacks back then when he was playing.
I think another thing that is evolving about the NFL is defense is starting to get its credentials and its credibility in the NFL now. Whereas back in the 60s and 70s, them big old fat linemen, they were doing their job, but nobody was giving them any appreciation because the only people that got any notice was the quarterback and the running back. And then in the 70s and 80s, it was the receivers. And, you know, it was one of those situations of where linemen never got any real notice or real attention in the NFL until recently. Defense started becoming something that was important, and everybody, you know, then the whole saying was, you can't win a Super Bowl without defense, or defense wins championships. And that's when all of a sudden the focus changed to defense, and then you started seeing these superstar defensive players, and then that's when the ballot people started paying a little bit more attention to these defensive players. You notice also the draft changed. There used to be a time when every single year the first pick was a quarterback. Number one overall was a quarterback or a running back. Now, all of a sudden, number one overall for the last 5 or 6 years have been defensive players. You're like, what in the hell is going on with the NFL? They have really switched the way that they are doing this thing. And I think that's what's going on. I think that now that defense has taken over and gotten the spotlight in NFL, you got to start putting more of these defensive players on that first ballot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you guys think of that they usually let one player from each position go in each year? Do you guys think that that's cool, or do you guys think they should just do it whoever's right that time? You know what I mean?
I think it's cool to have one.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, one great
one per position. That makes sense.
I mean, we were talking. I don't know if you're on, Tony. We were talking about. Pretty soon you're going to have it to where it's going to either have to be Brian Urlacher or Ray Lewis. So,
right. I heard that whole conversation, and I can tell you this. Clausell nailed it. I mean, Come on. We got to remember where we live. We are in the United States of America. The majority here are white folks, and they love their great white hope. And in because they love their great white hope, when you have a decent or better white player, he is going to get that nod over that decent or better black player.
But Tony, he was a great player for us, Tony. I mean, I say this, I mean, Ray's a true middle linebacker, so if you're going to have a middle linebacker, yeah, I mean, but they both played two different types of linebackers. He played outside linebacker. I mean, he was a heck of a player, so.
I agree. I'm not saying Urlacher does not deserve it. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. But what I'm saying is, while he does deserve it, and he deserves it well, there are people that deserve to get in before he does.
No, what I'm saying is, if it goes down between Urlacher and Ray Lewis, if you had to pick a choice, obviously you're going to go with Ray Lewis. But they're going to put Urlacher on there with Ray Lewis, I believe.
I see what you're saying, Clausel. So you think
that's the year that they make an exception?
Yeah, they're going to make an exception.
I don't know about that. I think when Urlacher goes in, they're going to want him to be the premier.
Oh, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
You think they're going to start talking about Ray Lewis's the stabbing and all that stuff?
They're going to have to put T.O. in there.
I don't think Terrell Owens will get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, what do you think about Randy Moss and Terrell Owens?
Randy Moss will get in, but Terrell Owens, I don't see it. If he does, it'll be fifth, sixth ballot. It'll be down the road, 10, 15 years, easy. He ain't going to get in first ballot. Randy Moss might get in first ballot, but Terrell Owens won't.
I mean, Randy Moss got some numbers.
T.O., he just...
Owens has numbers, too. Owens is actually ahead of Moss in receiving yards, and he's only...
Yeah,
like,
Owens and
like
Moss have the same numbers.
Yeah, they're basically identical.
I don't see T.O. getting in. I don't see him getting in fourth or fifth ballot. I see him getting in way down the road, way down the road.
Yeah. You think that's because of his you know, like they say, he's a locker room cancer and all that, or you think it's because of his play?
Exactly, because the generation that knew him will not be happy if he goes in first ballot because he was such a problem child. But I can see once that generation gets older, new generations come in, they can go on and then say, you know, let's just look at his stats and people won't remember him actually having played. Then it's easier to put him in.
Maybe that's the reason Charles Haley hasn't made it yet. Charles Haley's teammates hate him. You know, they all have horror stories of him walking around naked or peeing in somebody's locker or doing something crazy. You know, he's not that beloved of a guy.
Right.
Okay. Well, what about number four? What about Brett Favre? There was reluctance to even put him in the Packer Hall of Fame because they said that he might get booed. I mean.
Are you kidding? Come on. Brett Favre is a number one pick, first ballot, number one, first name. Come on. That is the greatest of the great white hopes.
Yeah,
I mean, he's had controversy throughout his career, too.
No. I guarantee you, Brett Favre is in. Number one, first ballot.
Okay, he's in.
Definitely.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about Brett Favre. He's in.
You think so too, Mike?
Of course.
Okay, let's bring James in here. Is James? Let me see. Hello, 850.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Yeah, chilling, man. I was just going to think about that whole Easton versus Dan Marino. Man, I'm picking Dan Marino.
I really can't hear you. It's kind of muffled. Well, you can speak up a little louder.
He said he's picking Dan Marino, man.
And James, he said he's taking Marino.
He said Jameis Winston's going to be better than both of them. But he said he's picking Dan Marino.
Oh, well, come on, man.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry. These phone lines must have got crossed just now. I just didn't hear that come out of anybody's mouth.
I know. Are you kidding?
Yeah, man. Come on, Clausel. Come on, man.
These phone lines must have gotten crossed.
God. You won a college championship, but that's about it. Yeah, but no,
I know. I have some technical difficulties.
I didn't say that. I thought James said that. James said Jameis Winston's going to be better than both of them. That's what I thought he said.
No, don't try to pin that on me, because no.
Yeah, I don't think he said anything like that. That kind of Kool-Aid is only get drunk in Tallahassee. I don't even think people in Tallahassee believe
it. It gets drunk in Clausel's house now.
Exactly.
A lot of that at Clausel's house.
The rest of the Jameis man crush lies.
Okay. By the way, I don't want to get too much sidetracked on Jameis because I know Tony Watley hates Jameis Winston, but it has come out that he did get put in handcuffs and was almost arrested when he was walking around with that BB gun before the incident that they even did call the police on him with.
He is a stupid nigga.
I mean, if you already get pulled over and handcuffed, why would you continue going to a place to have a BB gun fight? Why wouldn't you just go home or stop?
If you have already been arrested for stealing crab legs, you've already been accused of raping a girl, you've already been in the spotlight for all this negative, why do you keep doing dumb shit?
Entitlement. I don't know.
Ask Jameis.
I don't know. Ask him.
Entitlement. I mean, come on. I think the man is mentally retarded. I really do.
Hey, Tony.
What's up?
Hey, do you think Clausel has changed his mind yet? He must change his mind, bro.
Change, come on now, Clausel will never change his mind. If Clausel was a girl, he'd go back to Tallahassee and pimp right in front of Jameis Winston's room.
He'd be all over.
With some stilettos talking about, I love you.
He'd be all up there with that club Floyd's and with the Pepper Bellies trying to.
He'd be out there talking about, I'm your number one fan.
Forget, what's her name? Not even talking about his real girlfriend. He'd have beat the blonde chick. If Clausel was there, he would have saved Jameis Winston because he would have beat the blonde chick up as soon as she would have tried to walk over to Jameis.
He'd have straight walked into public talking about, I'll pay for them crab legs. He was getting them for me.
But see, you guys don't understand. The reason I'm a huge fan, one, obviously, this guy, he's the best quarterback I've seen in probably about 20 years in college.
Then you need your face because your eyes are
screwed up. Let me finish. Well, I know you have something to say, James. Let me finish.
All right, I will. Okay. I'll let you finish.
All right. Now, also, you've never seen a quarterback, you know.
Oh, wow.
This type of intellect on the field.
This type of intellect. Oh, wow.
Let me finish. He's a brother, okay? Accuracy, on-field intellect, when the game's on the line, he can deliver. So when he gets to the league, he will be a superstar.
Oh,
this
my
guy,
God.
But see, what you understand is he's going to symbolize, because he's going to be so hated when he gets in the league by the rest of the, by America, that he's going to only need his people that's going to be supporting him. That's why I say he's going to be the Allen Iverson of the NFL when he gets in there. Watch, because he's going to be so hated, but he's going to be yet so good. He'll be in the same manner as, I'm not going to say he's going to be the greatest of all time, like a Floyd Mayweather, but he's going to be like, he's going to be the Allen Iverson, kind of like the Floyd Mayweather of the NFL when he gets there.
Oh my God. Did he just call him the Floyd Mayweather of the NFL? Hell no.
All of y'all, I got a question for all of y'all. Hey, look, would you think Clauser would be saying all this about a player if he didn't come from Alabama?
That's a good question.
If it was any other player that had that type of skills and came from, like, Florida, California, Texas, would he be still boasting about him? That's my question.
He tries to say he's a fan of Jameis because of what he does on the field. But if you remember, he was like this before Jameis even played a down of football. Remember, he was saying that Jameis was going to win. He was right.
That whole year when Jameis was on the bench, he was talking about, wait for this guy, Jameis Winston. Oh, my God. He's going to be the best. He is going to be the best.
I never said that. Look up the tape.
He was the best in the combines. And, oh, my God, he was number one overall pick. And, oh, my God. He's coming. Like it was the second coming of Jesus or something.
You never said Jameis Winston was the number one high school player and he's gonna win the Heisman?
Exactly.
No, I never said he's gonna win the Heisman. I said he's gonna win the Heisman after the first few games after last year.
But you wasn't talking about him when he was the number one first pick out of high school?
Not like I'm talking about him now, no.
Oh, come on.
I wasn't, no. I've only been talking about this all year. But what I'm saying is, this is the recipe. This is the recipe. You understand what's going to happen here in the future, man. This is the recipe for another one of these Magic Johnson, Larry Bird type of situations when he gets to the league. You know, the Johnny Manziel him. What I'm saying is, you think this guy's going to be a bust, but this guy's going to be a superstar. I can see it right now.
Superstar player
in the league.
Oh, my God.
He's going to be hated. He's going to be hated so bad.
You put a lot of pressure on him, though, so I'm just sitting back listening to you.
I haven't seen a quarterback like this in about 20 years.
Who is he going to be hated by?
America will hate this guy when he gets in the league. But he's going to be so bad, he won't be able to do nothing about
it.
Let's be fair, Clauser. Is he giving people a reason to hate him, though? Be fair. Hello?
What reason?
Oh, my goodness.
Tony, you want to do the run? Tony, you want to do the rundown?
Oh, my goodness.
Why are they exaggerating stuff?
Wait a minute. Oh, my goodness. Did you really say what?
Has he been to jail?
Yes, it doesn't matter. Public perception matters.
Exactly. Has he been arrested?
Yes, he hasn't been arrested.
Oh,
I just now said they had him in handcuffs. That means you're being arrested.
Where's the mugshot?
You can be arrested, not charged.
You get a mugshot. You're under a mugshot.
Wait a minute. Wait, Clauser.
Let me finish. He's gonna be so hated when he gets to the league.
He's already so hated.
I would say that he is very hated right now. He is very hated. He's gonna be the most villain.
He's so hated when he gets to the league. I hate him now. I ain't gotta wait till he gets to the league.
You hate him now, exactly. And you, and Watley hates him. Think about the rest of America. The rest of America must really hate him. And if he's winning national championships,
why
are
you talking about
that?
Is he not giving people a reason to hate him, though?
Do you hate him? Outside of the fact that I talk about him all the time, do you hate him, Kelly Mike?
Yeah.
Okay, I won't say hate because hate is a strong word, but yes, he's given a reason people to dislike him. And I would almost say that I don't dislike him based on his actions, yes.
You say you don't dislike him?
I would say yes, that I dislike him based on his actions, yes.
I mean, he didn't break any laws.
He hasn't broken any laws, really?
Come on now.
Did we not see him on video stealing? It's not legal.
Was it a mistake?
Okay, look. Let's put it this
way.
Wait.
Clausell, do you realize what you're saying is what's going to make people hate him because he did do something illegal and didn't get arrested for it? That's what makes people hate him.
Okay, but let's put it this way. He may have never been arrested.
He did a community service. And he paid a fine. Clausell. That's a lie.
He may have not broken any laws, but how many run-ins with the law has he had in the past year?
Three.
Okay. How many other athletes have had three run-ins with the law that you have heard of in the past year?
Wait, hold on, Clausell. Did you say three? Did you say three, Clausell?
I'm gonna leave it alone at three. I just want him to answer that question.
My bad. You said
it's more like five
two,
to me.
Two.
Yeah. Okay, he may have not have been arrested, but he has had several run-ins with the law. How many other athletes have had several run-ins with the law in this past year?
I don't know. Probably there's a few. I'm not sure.
I want to know what you guys think about this too, because he's cleaning house over there in Texas. But if Jameis Winston played for Charlie Strong, I think Charlie Strong would kick him off the team.
He'd be gone.
Have y'all seen what Charlie Strong is doing in Texas? He's cleaning.
He'd be gone.
The horns off his helmet and all.
He'd be gone. But the thing is, okay, he has not been convicted, he has not been arrested, but he has had several run-ins with the law. He stole the drink at the McDonald's. That was a run-in with the law. He had the little thing with the white girl.
How do you know that was a run-in with the law. How do you know he stole the drink?
Because they said he stole a drink.
That doesn't mean he stole a drink.
Oh, wow. So you mean they just called the police for the hell of it?
No. They had him on tape doing it.
No, they don't.
They just haven't released it. Yes, they did.
They don't have him on tape stealing a drink. No, they don't.
Anyway, the point is that the restaurant called the police on him.
Have cameras in the puzzle.
They have cameras, but they don't have a camera of him.
It doesn't matter. They called the police on him. Did they not call the police on him? That is a run-in with the law. Okay, then he had a little sexual thing with the white girl. He had to go to the police station, did he not?
Hold on, let me tell you this. So if Burger King calls the police on me and I didn't do anything, so that's a run-in the law with me, huh? It's my fault.
Yes, it is. Right. It is a run-in with the law.
I've never had Burger King call the police on me. Have you, Tony?
Yeah, but you're not James
never,
Peterson. You're
never.
Not famous. You're not famous. That's a different story. They arrested Adrian Peterson at a club for him doing nothing.
That was a run-in with the law.
That's a run-in with the law. It don't matter whether it's still a run-in with the law.
Exactly.
No, it is a run-in with the law.
If you have to deal with the law, it's a run-in with the law.
Whatever, man. So you're gonna vilify him for that?
Yes.
No, I mean, it's not. I won't vilify. I can't wait till that happens to you.
Hold on.
I won't vilify him for it, but it's a running with the law.
Absolutely.
In case you haven't noticed, Clavel, running with the law.
Have you been pulled over for a traffic ticket?
Yes, that's a run-in with the law.
Run-in with the law. So you, okay, yes. Look at your shit then. Once you instead of judging James Winston, look at all that the trackers of the speeding tickets and the crap that you've had.
Absolutely. I can honestly say that I have had several run-ins with the law in my life.
Exactly. So then you should judge yourself then.
But I'm not 18 years old and a superstar.
I've never had five running with the law in a year though, Clavel.
Amen.
Hold on, Clavel. And when I did get in trouble with my running with the law, I had to take care of it. It didn't get swept under the rug like all this stuff with James.
Oh, really? So James Winston didn't do his community service?
Man, look. Hey, y'all may have had many running with the law, but have you ever been called a thief?
Okay, let me ask you this question, Clavel. What was his punishment for the BB gun incident?
Did he shoot a BB gun?
What?
Do we know that he shot a BB gun?
He doesn't have to shoot it.
They acknowledge they had a BB gun fight, yes.
Did he shoot the BB gun through the window? Do we know that?
This is the same BB gun that earlier in the day he told police that he was carrying around to shoot squirrels.
We know he stole that soda.
According to the police. First of all, have we heard James Winston's side of the story? Let me finish. Have we heard James Winston's side of the story?
Who cares about James Winston's side? I'm going to be honest.
But hold up. Remember, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago when he came out and spoke out against AJ McCarron's mom. So why isn't he coming out and speaking out against this?
Why don't you ask him? He doesn't have no trouble
being in front of the camera. So why hasn't he spoken out about any of this stuff?
So Clavel, what you're saying is all these people are calling the police on Jameis Winston because they just don't like him, right?
Maybe. We don't know that.
Come on, man.
I mean, Martin Luther King was pulled over for going 25 and a 24, so.
Wow.
You just compared
Jameis Winston to Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
That might qualify
as Hoon Train business.
you might have to get a
ticket on the train because of that one.
Wow.
But my point is this, man. This guy's going to be so vilified when he gets in the league. He's gonna have nothing but the community. The community's gonna have to support him, man, because he's gonna be so much under so much racial
tension. I don't think the community is gonna support him.
No,
I don't know about that. That's not true. Look at Floyd Mayweather. Mayweather has all these domestic violence situations. The community still supports him?
No.
What community supports Floyd Mayweather?
No. Exactly. Yeah. Tell me the community that's up and supporting Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
The African American community.
Hold on.
First of all, I don't want to do African American community because what does that mean? Second of all, you don't support Floyd Mayweather.
What are you talking about? I do support Floyd Mayweather. What the heck are you talking about?
You said that you think that he's dodging dudes and he's ducking fights.
He is dodging dudes. He's dodging dudes.
So that's
what I'm saying.
So how is that supporting him?
Look,
I'm being honest. He is dodging dudes, but I'll support him in his fights.
You said Manny Pacquiao can beat him.
Nah.
He's good right now. Right, the Mayweather right now, yeah.
So does the African American community support him boning T.I.'s wife?
He said he didn't do that. What are you talking about? He said he didn't even do that.
He said he did, too.
No, he didn't.
I thought he said he did.
He came out and said he did do it.
Yeah, why was he trying to grab her arm at that award show then if he didn't do nothing?
He was trying to say hello. That's what he was trying to do.
I'm talking about Clausel. Clausel could take any situation and turn it into this, Mike.
That's what you would do, Callie Mike. Let's get back to football here, guys.
Called your boy the Floyd Mayweather of college football.
He said the Floyd Mayweather of football.
Think about it, James. What does that even mean, the Floyd Mayweather of football? What is he going to do?
He's going to be so hated. He's going to be very good, the top of his game. But he's going to be so hated. Everybody's going to go out of their way to see him fail. That's my point right there.
Who's trying to see Floyd Mayweather fail?
That's different when you said Cam Newton. You see, that's why I said a few weeks ago about Cam Newton. Cam Newton will try to assimilate to get everybody to like him. Jameis Winston is not going to do that. Jameis Winston will not assimilate. He will not change.
What are you talking about?
What you're saying is you can take the nigga out of the hood, but you can't take the hood out of the nigga. Is that what you're saying?
What has Cam Newton done to assimilate anything? What has he done?
He talks about. Well, you know, I don't want to be called a black quarterback. You know, I'm not worried about my contract. I'm not worried about my contract. When you know he's lying, you know he's trying to give stuff to little kids. You know he's trying to be
trying to give stuff to little kids.
Let me finish, Wiley. Cam Newton, deep down, he's a B-side player. Deep down, he's a pro.
I got to ask this question, and I need a clear answer. Since Cam assimilates and Jameis doesn't, so when Jameis said Cam was a better quarterback than him, what was that?
I don't know. He's just trying to sound humble. That's all.
Oh, but he wasn't assimilating, right? He wasn't assimilating. What was he doing? He was being honest, right? Oh, he wasn't being honest. What was he doing then?
Well, Cam Newton's already played a few years in the league.
You're just stumbling. Tell me what he was doing.
You can't compare Cam Newton, who's been in the league for 2 to 3 years.
But Jameis himself said that Cam Newton was better.
Of course, you compared him before, Clausel. You compared him before.
And Jameis himself said Cam Newton was better.
I think Jameis Winston will be a better passer.
No,
Clausel,
you said before that Jameis is more accurate than Cam Newton right now.
And Jameis himself said Cam Newton is better out of his own mouth. So was that assimilating or was that just truth?
No, he was just being favorable to his
Oh, well, so that was assimilating, right?
No, it's not assimilating. Cam Newton is trying to be liked. I'm not saying he's just doing it for money. Cam's a brother, but he's
so Jameis is trying to help Cam be liked. Is that what you're saying?
But that's what I'm saying. Jameis Winston.
So Jameis is trying to help Cam be like.
Wiley, you can't even let me finish talking. Jameis Winston ain't going to care. He's going to be who he is. Jameis Winston is going to be who he is. He's going to act the way he's going to act. when he gets to the league, and he's going to rub a lot of people the wrong way. Just like Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather is going to be Floyd Mayweather. He don't care what anybody has to say. He's going to do what he's going to do.
But you don't see Floyd Mayweather up in the spotlight unless he's having a fight. The only time you even hear from Floyd Mayweather is a month before a fight. Other than that, you don't hear from Floyd Mayweather. When was the last time you seen Floyd Mayweather on TV other than a fight?
He always talks trash at his press conferences. What are you talking about?
Okay, but that's before and for a fight.
I mean, you don't really hear much out of Jameis Winston right now.
Shit. Wow, really? Football has been over for, what, 6 months? We've been hearing about Jameis Winston every other week for 6 months.
Because I can't stop talking about him.
Fuzzle, you sound like all those reporters and stuff that were saying that Cam Newton was putting on a fake smile.
No. Well, he kind of does. I mean, Cam Newton wants to get paid. He wants to get paid. He wants to get paid. He's not going to say that, but I'm going to say it for him. He wants to get paid. He just wants to say the right things so he gets paid. He wants the community to embrace him so he can get paid. All right? That's what Cam Newton is. That's what he's evolved into in the league. Jameis Winston ain't going to care. He's going to do whatever he wants to do it in the way he wants to do it. And he's going
to he wanted to say that Cam Newton was better than him, so what does that mean?
But he's just paying respect to a guy that has paid the way. But keep going.
Oh, wow.
Basically, what you're saying is that Cam Newton is a sellout.
No. I can't really go that far with Cam Newton. I'm just saying a lot. I'm not going to say he's a sellout. You know what I mean? Because my thing is, he's just doing it. He wants to get paid. You know, he wants to get more endorsements. He wants to, you know. I mean, some guys, I can't really say he's a sellout because he's, you know, I can't really say that about Cam because I don't blame Cam. What I'm saying is Cam, but Jameis Winston, he's just coming in. He ain't going to care. He don't give a, you know what, he's going to do him. He's going to do whatever he wants to do, and if he doesn't get paid, he don't get paid. He don't care. Think about it. It's kind of like a Jay-Z. Jay-Z, he's going to say the right things. Jay-Z is still kind of a hood guy. But he's going to give off this thing. He wants to get more money. He gets more endorsements. I can't say Jay-Z's a sellout.
Oh, wow. So what you're saying is Cam is like Jay-Z and your boy is like Martin Luther King. Is that what you're saying? Because that's what I remember hearing.
I wouldn't say Martin Luther King. I can't say Martin Luther King.
That's what you said.
Maybe more of a Malcolm X kind of a guy. Maybe more.
All right.
James. All right, I took it too far there. I did take it too far there. All right, I did take it too far. I can't really give a comparison right now. I really can't give a comparison. I'm not going to say Lil Wayne. But, I can't. I don't know who to compare him to.
Wow.
What I'm saying is he's going to be a transcendent player. He will be a transcendent player. When he comes in,
this is what you get when you listen to CMT Firestorm.
Oh, man.
Only here will you get high school football. I mean, college football players compared to civil rights activists and slain civil rights leaders.
Hey, you know what?
We bring you the best in sports with just a little bit of cooning involved. Go ahead.
August 6th, 2014. Remember that date because I can't wait. 2017, we're going to come back to this show and I'm going to be like, I'm dead on. I'm telling you, this dude, when he gets in the league, I'm telling you, this is going to be crazy. You thought Johnny Manziel was something. Wait till Jameis Winston gets in the league. It's going to be something there.
Manziel ain't done nothing in the league. What are you talking about?
He ain't done nothing in the league, but there's a lot of buzz.
No.
There's a lot of buzz.
And buzz about what he...
No.
Manziel is not
going to
do anything in the AFC North. You can get ready for that. He playing for Cleveland. He ain't going to do nothing.
Look. He ain't even starting on the team right now. They ain't even putting him in first team rest for the first game.
Yeah, but he's getting a lot of scrutiny. He's getting a lot of attention.
But he can be the starter. He's still at Cleveland playing against the Ravens, playing against the Steelers, and playing against the Bengals. He is not going to do nothing. He's going to be like all other quarterbacks that go up there and fall in that black hole.
We'll see. Probably, but I don't think you guys are seeing where I'm coming from. That's the point I'm trying to. I thought it'd be this.
Let's shift gears. I think we kind of got off control when we started comparing Jameis Winston to Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. Speaking of guys, what do you guys think about Andy Dalton's new contract?
Like we were chatting on, he pretty much got the same thing that, you know, Cap got. You know, it's basically incentive-based or, you know, what he does on the field. If he performs on the field, then he'll get that full money. But if, you know, if he's just going to be, you know, an average quarterback, he ain't going to get that whole $115 million or whatever that extension is. You know, so, and that's pretty much the way the NFL is going to be done right now as far as contracts are concerned.
Right. I think that's the way the NFL is headed. Everything is going to be based on incentives. You show up, you get your money. You don't show up, then that money disappears. It's that simple.
Right.
And you guys realize that no salaries in the world are based off that, right?
Well, in comparison to other sports,
compared to anything. I mean, why are we doing this? I think this is a case of young football players that are looking into the future instead of looking into the now, and it's going to screw up. I think if this happens a couple more times, I think you're going to get a grievance filed by the players union.
Why? It's the players that are agreeing to it.
No, you've had two players agree to this kind of contract, and they're both young quarterbacks who don't know any better.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the players do go forward with that grievance or something like that, but I don't really think that they'll be successful in what they're trying to get after, though. I really don't.
Let's say this. Is Aaron Rodgers going to accept that kind of contract?
He might.
Shit.
I mean, it might be a higher contract of guaranteed money, but I still think there will be a lot of stipulations in there.
That's what all these contracts are about, the guaranteed money. That's what they're all about is the guaranteed money.
But what I'm saying is, let's, for example, Andy Dalton gets a guaranteed $10 million. Aaron Rodgers might want a guaranteed $15 million, but he's still going to have those stipulations to get up to the 20 and 25 million a year.
Aaron Rodgers is going to want a guaranteed $60 million, like how he's already been getting. Nobody's going to take less money.
Oh, I'm talking about per year. I'm not talking about total contract. Aaron Rodgers is getting about 15 years a year, ain't he?
That's the thing, though. All Dalton is guaranteed is 2 years at $17 million, basically. That's all he's guaranteed.
Right. Which is pretty much $9 million a year.
A little less than $9 million.
$8.5 million, so $8.5 million, yeah.
But here's what I'm saying, though. These are the contracts of basically a prove-it-to-me type of contract. In other words, they're going to have to prove that they're worth that contract. These teams are not just going to give the big contracts to these young players. They're not Drew Brees. They're not Peyton Manning. They're not Tom Brady. All of those guys have been in the league 10, 15 years.
They're getting $20 million a year guaranteed.
And they're getting $20 million a year, but everybody knows that they're getting that $20 million because they perform to the level of getting $20 million a year.
Right.
You don't know that about these other quarterbacks yet.
Well, the president has shown, okay, which quarterback is getting paid that money that has not performed to that level?
Well, right now we might be seeing Joe Flacco with that contract he got. So we got to.
I mean, we can say that, but he's already given that team a Super Bowl, so he's already proven his worth.
I don't know.
Let me restate what I said. The Ravens have made more off of that Super Bowl than they will from Joe Flacco's contract. Let's say that. So in the long run, they're going to make way more money off of that.
Absolutely. Just in revenue merchandise sales.
Merchandise sales.
Exactly.
All right.
One thing is, can we
say
name
the same with Romo though?
I mean, Romo. Like I said, for all we say about Romo is Dallas. Have we seen Jerry Jones? Have we seen Jerry's world empty yet? I mean, is he not feeling this? Is he? I mean, okay. He has not won a Super Bowl yet, but is he not filling the seats? I mean, are the Cowboys?
Okay,
you know
but
I mean?
That's because he's a billionaire. He fills the seats with his own money.
And that's the brand. That's the Dallas Cowboys too. So, of course, folks are going to support the team no matter.
He fills the seats with his own money.
What I'm saying is, the quarterback of the highest profit team is going to make that kind of money. I mean, even the money he's making, that's not Drew Brees' money. He's making what? He's making like $15 million.
And he don't deserve half of that.
He's not making that $22 million, you know, Brees, Manning, you know, Brady kind of money.
I don't even think Tony Romo deserves a starting spot in the NFL, personally.
Let's talk about your boy then, who we know is going to be coming up. Let's talk about your boy. Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say he's better than Andy Dalton.
What about
your boy Cutler, Mike? What about his new contract? Do you think that he deserves that contract?
I mean, we got him paid.
I mean, no. Let's be real. To you being a Bears fan, you think he deserves it, right? You don't have any problem with him making that money, right?
Have y'all talked about Bennett being suspended yet?
Not yet, but I guess the market dictated some of the other contracts. I think, hey,
he's gonna
prove his worth this year.
Shit. All right, so let's talk about your boy, Tony Cam Newton.
Let's talk about your boy, Tony Cam Newton. Do you think he's going to want
an Andy Dalton kind of contract, or is he going to want a Joe Flacco kind of contract?
I think he'll end up with an Andy Dalton type of contract. They still are looking for performance out of him. It's still one of those situations where they are going to expect things from him.
You said he's performed better than any quarterback in his first 3 years in NFL history.
I agree. What I'm saying is the organization itself is expecting more. I think he is living up to it, but the organization is expecting championship.
Okay, I see what you're talking about. And I can kind of agree with that, but what more can – I mean, what they want the man to do, walk on water? I mean, that's what they expect of him.
They expect of their quarterback to walk on water and get them to the promised land. And, for them, they're not going to settle for anything less. That's why they're going to make an incentive base and say, we will give you all the money you want if you do what we need you to do.
Okay, now, speaking of the Dalton contract, I know that it's 2 years, $17 million, and the rest of the 4 or 5 years are all have team contracts. Are any of those player options too, or are they all team options that you guys know of?
That's a good question. I'd have to say they're player options.
Because I mean, that's also, you know, what if your court, you know, what if the guy comes in there and plays good, and you know, and then he wants more, you know, I mean, can he opt out? You know, that's, you know what.
I mean, like I said, for a guy like Dalton, I guess that contract's not good, but I just kind of – I don't want to see that, you know, be the way the NFL goes. I don't think that that's right.
Think about it. Think about it. Let's be real. I'm sure they sit Andy Dalton down in the office and said, Andy, you play like Superman all the way through to the playoffs, and then you get in the playoffs and play like Robin instead of Batman. We need you to stay playing like the superhero and stop playing like SpongeBob. You know, I mean, you fall apart in the playoffs. And so they're saying, look, we're willing to give you the money, but what we need you to do is once you hit the playoffs, and I guarantee you that's where the incentives come in, you win these playoff games, you get your money.
Okay, so you think – okay, that makes up another good subject. Yesterday on the Cold Hard Truth, I was talking with Matt. I told him that a guy like Andy Dalton, it won't be that hard for him to throw 3,000 yards and 20-some touchdowns, you know, because he has A.J. Green throwing the ball to him, and they got a good team. So do you,
right.
You think you think his contract's going to be dependent on what he does in the playoffs?
Yes, I think the incentives for him come after the regular season. I think it's a playoff incentive-based incentive contract where you get us to the playoffs, you get something. You win a playoff game, you get something. You win the division, I mean, you get something. You win the AFC championship, you get something. You take us to the Super Bowl, you get something. You win the Super Bowl, you get something. I think that's how his is going to be incentive-based. You get all your perks the further you take us to and through the playoffs.
These type of contracts aren't necessarily, like, you know, brand new. You know what I'm saying? Like, running backs have these type of contracts. You know, receivers have the type of contracts.
Right.
When you get, like, 1,000 yards receiving or, you know, 1,500 yards rushing, they get a bonus or that type of thing. So it ain't really that much different. It's just that, you know, everything is pretty much, you know, spaced out with these type of contracts now. And since it's, like, more public of the details of every contract, it seems like the contract doesn't look like what it really is.
Right, right.
Well, those are escalators, though, James, what you're talking about. Kind of, you know, those are escalators. Like, if you know, those are bonuses. This is, you know, if you don't do this, you know, you're basically getting paid like a square. I mean, like, what do we say? The franchise tag for a quarterback is $15 million.
Right, but think about it. Let's say, for example, Dalton, they tell him, we're going to give you $12 million guaranteed. You win the division, that's another million. You win a playoff game, that's another million. You win the AFC championship, that's $2 million. You win the Super Bowl, that's another $2-5 million. Right there, you just made $25-26 million that year versus the $8 or $9 million you would have made had you not played made the playoffs. That's the incentive.
But we're not even saying 12. We're saying 8 million, bro. That's what I'm saying. The franchise, he could have said no, franchise me, and made twice his money, basically. The franchise tag for a quarterback is 15 million.
But then they would have took them incentives away, and that's all he would have made, even if he'd won the Super Bowl, other than the money you get for winning a playoff game in the Super Bowl.
Is Andy Dalton going to win the Super Bowl this year?
Andy Dalton ain't going to win the division this year.
Okay, then. So what would have been the better deal for him to do that?
I mean, in his heart, he probably thinks he can do it. Because last year, if Cincy had a chance, last year was Cincy's chance because the Steelers' defense – and offense was rebuilding. They had a lot of problems. The Ravens was coming off of a bad year. You know, if Cincy had a chance, last year was their chance. The Ravens have gotten their shit together. The Steelers have gotten their shit together. The Browns have just came in with a superstar quarterback. If Cincy ever had a chance, they blew it last year.
Okay, well, that's part of what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's
true, yeah.
Who's looking into the future.
He's
going to
be learning a new system. The Bruce is not there.
I mean, we all know how hard it is to win we all know how hard it is to win a Super Bowl. So,
back, who's basically saying he thinks he's going to, I mean, look, like we just talked about, Dan Marino has never won a Super Bowl. So if you're Dan Marino, you would have never gotten paid. So if you're Dan Marino, you'd have never gotten paid that $20 million.
Absolutely.
And you, but okay. But on the other hand, you said that he's better than Steve Young, who was a winner. So Steve Young would have gotten breaded.
Exactly. But he performed. You get paid for performance.
Dan Marino performed too. He just didn't perform
no,
well enough, apparently.
You didn't,
right?
You didn't perform when it counted. When it counts is the playoffs. You can win every single regular season game by 100 points. If you lose that first playoff game by 1 point, then you didn't perform. The regular season don't matter.
Okay, but how do you justify Marino being better than Steve Young then?
Because at the time that Marino was in the AFC, the Dolphins just were not the best team. It's that simple in the AFC. San Francisco, at the time that Steve Young was in the NFC with the 49ers, had been and was still considered one of the top teams in the NFC.
In the NFL. In the NFL.
In the NFL, yeah.
Yeah, Hall of Famer.
You had the Cowboys, you had the Redskins, who had all won Super Bowls since this last time the Niners won a Super Bowl in 89. You had the Cowboys and the Redskins who had combined what they won. They won four or five Super Bowls between themselves. So really, was the Niners still really the premier team, like y'all thinking that they are?
They were definitely one of the top five teams in the NFC.
That 94 Niners team was a completely, from top to bottom, completely different team than that Joe Montana's team.
They were still considered one of the top five teams in the NFC. The Dolphins were not considered a top five team in the AFC when Dan Marino was there.
We're talking about the franchise itself.
Yes, they were.
So it wasn't
name me five teams better than the Dolphins when Dan Marino and like I said, he took them to the Super Bowl. They were clearly a top five team.
That was in his first couple of years. I'm talking about throughout his career, he was there for 16, 17 years.
Okay, during his prime years, name me five teams that were better than the Dolphins.
The Pittsburgh Steelers was better than the Dolphins.
No, they
were.
The Patriots were better than the Dolphins. Hold on. Let me stop
the
you right
Buffalo
here.
The Buffalo Bills were better than the Dolphins.
During Dan Marino's prime, the Steelers were not better than the Dolphins. No, they weren't.
Yes, they were.
No, they weren't.
I mean, if you look at the teams, what, tell me the years of Dan Marino, 82 to...
I say 82 through 94.
During those years, and I'm just, like I said, I ain't in front of a computer. The AFC had the Buffalo Bills, the New England Patriots,
The Patriots were not better than the damn Dolphins.
You're talking about over 15 years. There were years when the Patriots were better than the Dolphins.
There was one year the Patriots were good, went to the Super Bowl. That was it. They got the ass over.
No, they were pretty good throughout. They just didn't get over the hump.
No, I'm not in front of the computer right now either. And I can argue. If anybody is, please look this up so you can support. Either way, I'm just gonna assume no. But go ahead, okay. assuming the Patriots, we'll put the Patriots on the fence, and I'll give you the Bills, even though the Bills weren't good until the late '80s and early '90s. I'll give you the Bills. Name the three other ones.
I'm trying to think off of my head in the '80s.
That's what I'm trying. If you have to think about it that hard.
Well, you got to realize I was in the military in the 80s, so I really wasn't paying much attention to football. I was in another country.
I was a baby in the 80s, and I know better.
I was in the military, so I wasn't watching a lot of NFL football.
What'd you say, James?
No, I'm saying pretty much from, I'd say, the Patriots, I'd say, would be, like, from 83 to, like, 86.
They were a good team.
That's 3 years. That's 3 years, Tony.
And no, that was about 4 years.
4 seasons.
83. Well, hold on. First of all, they weren't even better than the once again, the Dolphins went to the Super Bowl in 84. So I wouldn't even give them those years of being better than the Dolphins. I'd say it was like 2 years maybe they were better than the Dolphins.
I don't know about that. I'd have to say,
okay, well,
again.
It's not 15 years. It's not the majority of his thing. So let's get the Patriots.
No team in the AFC was dominant the whole time. But what I'm saying is the Dolphins were not the premier team in the AFC the whole time Dan Marino was there, whereas the 49ers stayed the premier team for like 15 straight years.
No, they weren't. The Cowboys were the dominant team of the early
They stayed the top five team. They stayed
hold
the
on,
top.
Hold on. So we're talking about the San Francisco 49ers, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, from 83 to 1998, I'm going to say it again, 83 to 98, how many times during the season did the 49ers win less than 10 games?
Exactly.
They were a dominant team. No, like I said, I didn't say they weren't a dominant team. What I'm saying is the team that Steve Young took to the Super Bowl was a completely different team than those teams with Joe Montana.
What I'm saying is as an organization, the organization was solid in there when Steve Young walked in. He did not inherit a bad team. He walked into a dynasty.
The Pittsburgh Steelers have always been a solid organization, and they haven't always been dominant, have they?
Okay, but you can't name a quarterback that walked into that dynasty.
Neil O'Donnell. We just talked about
Neil O'Donnell didn't do nothing. He didn't walk into a dynasty and do something. What did he do?
Okay, I don't know who the quarterback after Bradshaw was, but I know the Steelers were sorry as hell once he was gone.
What I'm saying is the quarterback after Bradshaw inherited a dynasty and did nothing.
Okay, so that means
Steve Young came in after a great quarterback. He inherited a dynasty and he kept it going.
That means you have to be a pretty damn good quarterback then, don't you? Because you don't even know that quarterback's name, apparently.
Like I said, I was doing other things in the 80s.
All I'm saying is this, like I said, the Niners, the Steve Young Super Bowl team was completely, you can say the organization was good or whatever, but like I said, it was different coaches, different players, different teams.
Oh, I know another team that was better in the AFC than the Dolphins then. The Oakland Raiders
yeah.
were better than the Dolphins. The New England Patriots were better than the Dolphins.
Yeah,
the Buffalo Bills were better than the Dolphins.
Okay, I'll give you the Raiders. I'll give you the Bills. I'll even add one, and I'll say the Bengals were better than the Dolphins over that period.
Yeah.
But, I mean, other than that, okay, maybe, no, or I can't say the Oilers.
Sorrell and the San Diego Chargers were better than the Dolphins.
That was early. That was early, early, early 80s. And like I said, Dan Marino went to Super Bowl in 84. So that was after all that. Like I say, the Dolphins were a top five team when Marino was there. You can't say that they weren't. In the AFC, they were a top five team.
No, not the whole time. Not the whole time.
I said through his prime from 83 through 94, they were top five team. Can we at least agree on that?
I don't know. I don't know about that. He was a top quarterback in the NFL, but his team wasn't a top team in the NFL, not even a top team in the AFC.
No. There were times when that Miami team missed the playoffs.
Yeah,
And it was like a good amount of time that they missed the playoffs, too.
When?
From like 86 to like 90.
They like I said, he was a great quarterback, but his team was not a great team.
Yeah, it wasn't a great team.
They pulled two bad teams up. Yeah, I know. Football was the same game.
If he was such a great quarterback, how did his teams get that damn bad to where they didn't make the playoffs then?
Because you need more than just an offense to make the playoffs.
So basically, Dan Marino was a Tony Romo at his age, but y'all are giving Marino his props, but everybody hates Tony Romo.
Oh, man.
No. Tony Romo. There you go. Do not put Tony Romo in the same class as a Dan Marino. That is an insult.
Tony Romo is an excellent regular season quarterback.
That is an insult.
Yeah, but he's still not as good as Dan Marino. That's ridiculous.
Come on, Kelly Mike.
Okay, first of all, let's get this straight. Tony is probably the only person who really got to see Dan Marino when he was an excellent, excellent quarterback. Y'all did not watch Dan Marino games. Y'all are the same age as me. Y'all was not 6 years old watching no damn Marino, so quit lying. Okay, that's like you don't say you saw Dan Marino in his prime. Tony Watley probably the only person who can say he's seen him in his prime. Let's be real.
Damn, you calling me old?
Hey.
Because that's what I'm hearing.
I'm saying you're the elder statesman of the group. But what I'm saying is, this whole when you create a legend about somebody, a legend can sometimes be bigger than the actual person is. So what I'm saying is, what is everybody basing this legend off of Dan Marino off of? When did y'all see out of Dan Marino? Because when I started watching football, I see Dan Marino getting his ass whooped. What did y'all see out of Dan Marino?
I'm gonna tell you what. Dan Marino had one of the strongest arms I've ever seen of any quarterback. When that ball came out of his hand, it looked like a bullet coming out of a gun. I mean, that boy could throw hard. When I say hard, he threw that ball hard.
Now,
Marcus Russell say that.
And
like little kids when he had that record year.
And another thing with Dan Marino is Dan Marino could get you when you down by six with a minute to go. Dan Marino can get you in the end zone. Dan Marino can get you down the field. Dan Marino, he had that finishing quality about him. You know, if it was a tight game and you put it on Dan Marino, he could get it for you. But the problem with Miami is half the time came that 1 minute, they were down by 21 points.
This is what I'm saying, though. Look at, like I said, that's what I'm saying about legends. Y'all just made a case for Dan Marino being this good. Then you made a case for the Oilers, for the Dolphins not being a good team. Now y'all making a case for him being a clutch quarterback that wins games at the end. You can't have these. Well, that's what I'm saying. When you talk about
I'm glad you mentioned that because that's another team that was really good was the Houston Oilers. The Houston Oilers were really good in the AFC back then.
So is Dan Marino better than Warren Moon?
I'd say that'd be a good fight. That'd be a title fight right there. They were both good. Very good.
I put Dan Marino over Warren Moon.
They were very good. I would not put Dan Marino over Warren Moon. I'd say they're equal. Why? Because 13, it's just like Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan. It's easy to say Michael Jordan is better than Magic Johnson, but that's because Dr. J spent his real prime in the ABA. It's the same way with Warren Moon. Warren Moon spent his real prime in the Canadian League. By the time he came to the NFL, he had already won two or three championships in the Canadian League. Had all of that stuff been reverted over to the NFL, you would be able to say Warren Moon was better than Dan Marino.
True on that, true.
Okay. Maybe.
Was Marino better?
Same way with Dr. J. If you took everything that Dr. J did in his career and compared it to Michael Jordan wouldn't have a chance. They literally stopped the ABA because when the NFL drafted Dr. J, there was no need for the league no more.
My only thing with Warren Moon is, man, he choked mad times in the playoffs, man.
Yeah, he did.
He choked big time in playoff games. What I'm saying though is,
can't we say Marino didn't choke?
He choked in the Super Bowl.
But I'm gonna tell you, the reason why Marino and Moon choked is the same reason why Peyton Manning chokes, and that is when push came to shove, they literally took the whole thing onto their shoulders. It was about them. I got to make this happen. And that's why Moon would end up either taking off running and not getting the first down, throwing an interception, throwing an incomplete pass because he thought he had to do it. Same way sometimes with Marino. I mean, Marino got it done more than everybody else, though. And that's why Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning, is because when things get rough, instead of saying, I trust my teammates, he wants to do it himself. And because he wants to do it himself, everybody knows, just focus on Peyton. And when you just focus on Peyton, you can see the throw coming.
I just, like I said, when it comes to Steve Young, we talked about Warren Moon spending the bulk of his years, his prime in Canada. Steve Young spent his prime in Tampa and sitting behind Joe Montana.
Yeah, that's true.
Steve Young won that Super Bowl.
I'll give you that. But he still inherited a dynasty. That's the difference. He inherited a great team.
The last Super Bowl was 89. 89 to 94 is 6 years. That's not a dynasty.
They were still good. They were still a very good team in those years. They weren't winning Super Bowls, but they were good.
Like I said, we've seen good teams that haven't won Super Bowls. And it was a completely different team. You had Ricky Waters instead of Roger Craig. You had Merton Hanks, all these guys on defense that did not play on those other teams. There was no Ronnie Lott on those teams. They were completely different teams.
No matter how much they were a completely different team, they were still dominating the NFC West. Different team or not, they were still dominating. The NFC West.
Truthfully, that wasn't hard to do. You remember the NFC West? NFC West used to be.
Absolutely, it wasn't hard to do. But the point is, they were still doing it. The Dolphins weren't the ones dominating. They weren't dominating in the AFC. I mean, it wasn't hard to do the AFC South either. That was a horrible vision.
Okay, we already acknowledge that the NFC was the dominant conference of that time. So if the Dolphins were not dominating in the NFC, what does that say about Marino? He had the tools. He had Duper and Clayton.
They didn't have the defense.
They did not have a defense. That is the problem. They had a great offense. They did not have a great defense. It was the same way with the other teams in the AFC. At that time, the AFC was so focused on offense, they forgot defense. That's why the Dallas Cowboys were the Dallas Cowboys. They had a dominant defense.
Towards the end of his career, they had a good defense. They still didn't do nothing.
But he was old then. He already lost a little bit by then.
John Elway was old. It didn't stop him. That was the same time.
Yeah, but he had Terrell Davis.
Exactly. Their offense wasn't on Elway then. By then, he was just handing that ball off.
Those were Elway's teams. Well, Bubby Brister,
they weren't based around Elway.
Bubby Brister and Brian Greasy had Terrell Davis too, and they didn't do squat in Denver. So you can't just
John Elway retired, so he's got about that too.
Again, John Elway benefited from a great defense and a excellent offensive line.
You talking about Tony? You talking about when Elway won the Super Bowl? You talking about when Elway won his final?
Yeah, when he won, when he won them, they didn't. Yeah. Them two Super Bowls, they didn't win because of Elway. They won because they had a solid team on both sides of the line.
They won. They won.
And
they
had that running back that was just killing people.
They won because of Elway.
No,
Elway took his team to more Super Bowls than Dan Marino. Oh, Elway's better than Dan Marino. We don't need to argue that, right?
That's a debate.
I would give Elway better than Marino.
Depending on what y'all say, no, it isn't. Because he has better
stats, and he has more. I give Elway better than Marino.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Didn't Denver have like a Steve Atwater on defense though?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, boy.
Like guys like Steve Atwater on defense. Tom Jackson on defense.
They had
a dominant defense.
Tom Jackson in the earlier years.
Yeah.
They had Steve Atwater. And they had, who else did they have? They had Steve Atwater.
They had a guy from USC. They had a guy from USC. He was a pretty good safety. Mark Carrier, I think his name was.
Talk about Mark Carrier. When did they have Mark Carrier? They didn't have no damn Mark Carrier.
Was
in the Super Bowl. That was,
no, man. Mark Carrier played for the Browns, right?
Yeah, you talking about the Redskins. He used to play for the Browns or the Redskins. You talking about it. They had Steve Atwater, and they had Neil Smith, and They had a decent defense. They were not a dominant defense, though. They had a decent.
Yeah, they were a dominant defense, man.
No, they weren't.
Yeah.
They called the Orange Crush.
That was back in the '80s, Clausel.
Exactly with Elway.
Okay. I'm sorry. But James, you were talking about the Super Bowl team, though, right?
Super Bowl '80s.
Hey, that's both. You got to understand, they went to the Super Bowl what, 3 times in the '80s?
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about. Are you talking about when they won the Super Bowl? And not? Are you talking about at the end of the LA's career?
No, I'm talking about when they were before that. When they were losing the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. My bad. No. They were called the Orange Crush, but those weren't. You can't name me 3 players off that defense.
Of the Orange Crush defense?
Yeah, stalling. Every time you repeat a question, you start stalling. Go ahead.
Oh, please. I'm just making sure. I'm trying to make you sound right, please. I'm just trying to understand what you're saying.
Look, he's stalling. He's stalling, you guys. Just say the name. Stop stalling.
No, I'm not stalling. I'm asking you a question.
Oh, my goodness. Why are you still talking? Just say the name.
All right, hold on.
The earlier defense or the later ones?
You're stalling. We know what we're talking about, the Orange Crush defense. Quit stalling.
Well, it doesn't matter what the name of the defenses was. The point is, Denver had a dominant defense during the years.
Hold on, Tony. Don't let Clausel out of this one. Name 3 players, Clausel, from that defense.
From the 80s or the 90s? Which one?
Oh, my goodness. This is
just answer the question. Which one?
From the Orange Crush defense of the 80s for the last time. Stop stalling.
Okay. You got Tom Jackson, right?
Tom Jackson, the ESPN announcer.
Yeah. Reuben Carter, the former coach at FAMU.
Reuben Hurricane Carter,
he played for Miami. He was a pretty good player on that Denver defense. Randy Gardiner.
None of these dudes you're naming are good.
Reuben Carter was part of that defense.
Okay, yep. would Clausel know that if he wasn't coach FAMU? Come on now.
He was a good player in the league.
Who'd you just name, Clausel? Did you just name Mark Jackson again?
No, I said Reuben Carter. I said Reuben Carter.
Said okay, Bernard. You already said Reuben Carter, and I said the only reason you know him is because he's the coach of Paramount.
No, I said Bernard Jackson. My bad, Bernard Jackson.
Are you in front of your computer just naming teams off the roster now? Who the hell is Bernard Jackson?
He played for the Orange Crush defense. That's what he did.
So in other words,
Mike, I'm not sorry. You told me to name players off that Orange Crush defense.
I meant name them off the top of your head, like the famous players. Not go look up players and start naming stuff.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't say that. You said name three players from that Orange Crush defense. I just named them for you.
Oh, wow.
You're stalling. You know, see what you're talking about. You're the one that was stalling. But anyway, keep going.
You got to stick with us.
No. Can we go on to something else?
Okay, yeah. I want to ask you guys, because we're actually in overtime right now, so I want to ask you guys this question. I can't think of her name. Damn. Anyway, Nicole Murphy. What do y'all think about what she did with Michael Strahan? God. I thought that was the most dirty thing of all time, dude.
What happened? I didn't hear it. You got to catch me up. I missed it.
Yeah, at the same moment that he was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, she released that they had broken up and that he had cheated on her. Also, which kind of lets you know that she's kind of BS.
That's called a woman scorned, my brother. You better understand what that means.
But no. I always find it interesting, and I know people are gonna say, I know David Williams listening talking about this Tommy Sotomayor or whatever, but I just find it interesting that she's gonna go out of her way to embarrass this guy on national TV.
That's called a woman scorned.
But what I'm saying is, if she was dating somebody who looked a little bit different than Michael Strahan, she would have took it like a woman. But all of a sudden, you have this situation here. She's going to try to embarrass Michael Strahan in his moment. Just like, and something just came out here about Dwayne Wade's baby mama.
You didn't hear?
She's coming out with some mess again.
There's an old saying, there is no vengeance like a woman scorned.
No, I just find it interesting. There's a little bit more vengeance when you have the darker the skin, there's a little bit more vengeance involved. I've noticed that.
Well, I'm just telling you. That's why she released that on the same night. The same night he called himself having his spotlight, she was determined to ruin it.
The second part of this, though, is the same person
that had another affair and, like, the other chick, like, ended up selling a lot of stuff from his house.
You talking about Michael Strahan? Yeah.
Did Paula Patton do the type of stuff that Nicole Murphy and Dwayne Wade's ex-wife did to what's his name? Robin Thicke? Did that happen?
Wait a minute. Hey, but look, I want to add the second part on. I don't know if y'all saw this too. She was caught on a beach in photographs with Jimmy Jackson at the same time she released the statement saying that he was cheated on her.
Okay, but they're over already. So what's she doing now is her business.
But what I'm saying is you just don't go on a beach vacation with some dude. You were seeing him beforehand. So Strahan must not have been the only one who was cheating, because you just don't say, okay, we broke up, Michael Strahan. Now I'm on the beach with Jimmy Jackson making out.
That's a woman scorned. She's trying to get back at old boy. Don't you understand that? A woman scorned is going to do some crazy stuff.
We know that, Watley. We know that. That's not the point we're trying to talk about, though. Do you understand, Watley, that we understand that? We know that, Watley. Are you getting that?
Yeah, I'm getting it, but what I'm saying is you're asking why would she do it. She's doing it out of pure vengeance.
Out of spite.
No, I don't think that's what he means. We know that she's mad. We know that she's a woman scorned. We know that. But what we're saying is she's acting like we just find it interesting. If players of a certain skin tone, all right, you know, she's acting this way, but all of a sudden,
y'all don't see
a lighter skin tone.
Wait,
through all this stuff. That's the
y'all don't seem to see that I'm trying to avoid that.
Yeah.
Because you know, I don't know that that's an issue. I don't really believe that y'all are saying this. Y'all trying to say dark skinned niggas are getting a bad rap from this woman.
I'm just saying her reaction, her vengeance, her public vengeance, I should say. She just has all of a sudden this public vengeance when she gets with a darker skinned guy. But I bet you if she was with a white guy or a different guy, she wouldn't have the same public vengeance.
I don't agree. I think it has to do with his actual celebrity, not the color of his skin. She's hating on this one more because she knows he's more popular.
All right.
Well, she didn't do that to Eddie Murphy.
Well, I mean, you don't know the situation with her and Eddie Murphy.
Eddie cheated on her with a trans outside.
Okay, but the thing is, you didn't when that comes out, you ain't got to say nothing else other than the word transvestite. Then everybody's focused on Eddie already, so she ain't got to say a word.
Yeah.
Well, let's bring in David.
Hey, you got something to say, David?
All right, come in.
Yeah, we here. You got something to say?
Yeah, no, bring it.
Hold on. Is it on me?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, we hear you.
I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's just that, like you said, she was with Eddie Murphy. When they broke up, how come, if we're going to operate under that theory, did you have all that same type of scenario when she broke up with Eddie?
I don't know how she acted when she broke up with Eddie. I don't know how she acted.
Okay, yeah, I don't know either. That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, because I know she was with Eddie before she was with Strahan. So I'm assuming if that's the type of shit she was into when she broke up with Eddie, she would have did the same thing. If she was
maybe something with athletes, though, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe it was her that put out that it was a transvestite. Think about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my thing mm-hmm. is that... Is it the man or the woman that's the person at fault?
Yeah. You know what, Tony? She never came out and spoke out about that, so that's a good point. You figure if those kind of rumors come up about your husband, the first thing you're going to do is come out and speak out about the shit. She never said...
Right.
Because remember, that's also when those rumors came out that he was sleeping with, Johnny Gill or somebody like that?
Right. Plenty of people been saying Eddie Murphy is gay.
Yeah. And she never came out and said squat about it.
Right.
Kelly Mike, what Jim Jackson you talking about that was with Nicole Murphy? You talking about the basketball player?
Yeah, the ex-basketball player.
Oh, okay. Didn't hear about that.
Yeah, I think it's on Black Sports Online.
I didn't know they broke up, because I was thinking like, why is the Strahan didn't mention, you know, Beyonce and Nicole Murphy at the speech, and then saw on one of the news things saying that, yeah, they broke up. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
But come on, you know, like I said, that's why she released that on the same night of his NFL inductee, Hall of Fame inductee, is because she trying to take that nigga spotlight. It's like, no, you ain't going to make everybody think you great. Let me tell you your bad side. Why everybody's looking at your good side.
What they say is it's a thin line between love and hate, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of that, I don't know, I think everybody out here knows, but I want to let everybody else out there know. Congratulations to Tony Watley. He's recently newly married. Is this your first time being married? This is your second time being married, right?
Second time being married, but it's been 20 years in between.
All right, you know, congratulations, man. I'm really happy to see that. You guys look really happy.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Congrats, Tony Wale. Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, congrats.
Is your wife a Steelers fan too, Tony?
Absolutely not. She's a Saints fan.
I don't say. Who that be on Saints?
Yeah. She's in love with Drew Brees.
I mean, why doesn't – I mean, well, okay, everybody's situation. It's just interesting that, you know, I'm trying to think of a situation. You know, Paula Patton, she didn't act like that towards Robin Thicke. I'm trying to think of another situation.
Well, look at
Well, not all women are going to act the same, you know, but you got to realize you don't know what those women are doing in that personal situation.
No, I just see a common theme.
But true on that, what Tony said. True on that.
I have a point though.
Look at how she, you know, when she broke up with Eric Benet, you know, she let everybody know that he was a sex addict and all this other stuff. But you know, she broke up with old boy, and he's hitting her up for child support. She ain't said shit bad about him.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's kind of like, you know, I just find it interesting. You know, they want to act a fool when a brother does them wrong. But if someone else does them wrong, all of a sudden they just don't really, you know, they don't act the same way. I just find that interesting.
I don't agree with that because the thing is you don't know the whole picture. In every separation, there are two sides of the separation. Somebody on both sides did something, and you don't know that while one person was the one cheating, it could have been the other person that was saying no in bed and all kinds of other things to make the other one go out and cheat. So you don't really know the story. So that the reason why they may not say something is because they know they were just as culpable for the breakup as the other person. So they keep their mouth shut.
Yeah, but
Eva Longoria. She didn't come out and dog Tony Parker.
She's in the spotlight
because she came out on top of that. She came out on top of that. You got to realize, old girl that just broke up with Strahan, she coming out on the bottom of this deal. Strahan comes out as the good guy. She comes out as the broke hoe. Eva Longoria, she could break up with any nigga on earth, and she's still going to come out on top.
Also, too, guys,
that wasn't a breakup, though. They were married. He was cheating on her with with the old boy's wife.
Brent Berry's old wife. They was real cool.
Yeah, Brent Berry's wife.
That was his teammate. That was dirty, man. But I was going to say, I don't know if y'all know, it's another couple, a famous couple that's about to call a divorce, too. They say Nick Cannon and Mariah Carey.
I don't see why they got married to begin with. But that's
me. Nick Cannon did his job. I hope she didn't make him sign a prenup either so he could take half her money away from her if they break up. I really do.
I never understood that Nick Cannon Mariah Carey marriage to begin with. That didn't make
Beyonce,
sense to me.
Yeah, Beyonce and Jay-Z gonna break up too.
Yeah, they be saying like that. The way it's looking, they said they ain't separate. I guess on tour they ain't separate.
And watch this. Watch what happens here. Watch who breaks up here. I'm predicting it now.
You're predicting.
Are you serious? Are you kidding? Nigga, please.
Absolutely.
Fail and bump your head, nigga.
You don't fail and bump your head, nigga. I don't even want to say that, man.
That will never happen.
I want to see Kanye and Kim Kardashian break up. Thinking that, since he said we're the power couple.
Come on now.
That will never happen.
Hear me out. All right.
Let's hear him out. Go ahead.
Michelle Obama brought her mama to live at the White House. Now, what kind of mess is that?
That's to take care of the kids.
That's a mess.
I didn't know that, Clarkville. Michelle Obama's mother lives in the White House?
The whole time to take care of the kids. They had small kids.
Yeah.
That's why she brought her mama to the White House.
What's wrong with that kid?
It ain't a good sign.
What are you talking about? It ain't a good sign. That's a strong family. That's a strong family.
Hold up. Them kids ain't small, man. What's in there? Because they're 18 years old now. Them kids ain't
small. No, them kids, 8 years ago, she was 10 years old. 8 years ago, she was 10 years old.
Hold on.
Let's say this, kid. She also filed for divorce. There was a source, a strong source. She filed for divorce. All right,
that's a damn lie. That's a lie.
That's not a lie.
That's true.
That is a lie. You hear, man.
That's
a damn lie. The First Lady of the United States is not going to file for a divorce against the President of the United States. Come on.
No.
That's a lie.
Can you let me finish? It was before he was president. He was trying to establish his political career. It wasn't working out. She was getting frustrated, so she was going to file for divorce. But
that was 20 years ago.
But still, that's just the point I'm trying to say. She filed for divorce because he didn't have the
deal. Big deal. What is that? That
right
was
there.
20 years ago. They've made it now.
I don't know. Hold on. Kelly Mike. If you were struggling trying to make something out of yourself and you were married and your woman want to file for divorce because you ain't do nothing and then change your mind.
No. See, you missed it. You don't understand a political.
I'm talking to Mike. I'm talking to Mike here. Let Mike answer the question.
Neither one of you are going to understand because neither one of you are political. I am a political person. I can explain it to you.
You ain't never ran for office, so what the heck that mean?
I have been part of politics for the last 25 years. I was a campaign manager for a congressional campaign.
I know how politics works,
and I know how relationships in politics work. It is very, very stressful.
Hold on. Did you guys...
Hello? Yeah.
It is very, very stressful when you are trying to build a relationship and he is focused on trying to build a political career. It's like having another woman. He spends all his time doing politics and she feels left alone, and I can see where that would get to her.
Exactly.
When you're young. Now that she has matured and understood what's going on, she's accepted what politics is to him, and she has gone into it with him instead of fighting him against it, and that's why he's President of the United States.
And then remember when she said she was a single mother accidentally? You remember that, Callie Mike?
Because he feels like a single mother because he's always gone. Like I said, politics.
A single mother? I was like, what?
Like I said, politics is a.
No other first lady has ever said that, Tony.
Exactly. Something sketchy. In regards to their
oh my God, y'all are really some crazy ass conspiracy theorists right now, because that is not gonna happen.
That's quite very much. I'm not even thought of that. That is not gonna happen. Okay,
that is not gonna happen.
I didn't know about the almost breaking up thing. That's kind of garbage when you have a female
Tony, let me finish talking.
That's kind of messed up when you have a female this woman say, I'm going to leave you when you're trying to build something, but once you build it, I'm in for the long run.
No, that's not how it happened. That's not how it happened. What I said is...
You don't think that affects Barack Obama psychologically? He's going to be like, is this woman really down with me?
When
he reflects back on his marriage, is he going to be looking at her and be like, is this woman really down for me?
Will you listen? They both had
problems. You listen.
you're not letting me finish. What Michelle Obama said, and she said this out loud. When he got into politics, she did not agree with it. Why? Because they were both top lawyers in one of the best law firms in Chicago. And she was like, why are we doing this? We have a good life. We make really good money. We don't have to go down this line where all of our lives is in the public eye, and you got to go through all of this and try to convince these people that you're black, you know, because he was half black, and the black people of Chicago were not accepting him because he wasn't all black. And it was a struggle that she did not feel like was worth it. She did not embrace it, and she had real problems with it because they were both very successful lawyers. But finally, after a while of realizing that this was her husband's true passion, she said, okay, this is not something you're just doing. This is something you really have a passion for. So what I'm going to do is I am going to embrace it, and I am going to support you. And that's when it changed.
Well, she should have known that before if she got married to him.
No, she did not know that. She did not know that. They were lawyers. They were lawyers. That's where they met. They met together in a law firm.
She knew his aspirations before they got married.
No, they did not. No, they
did.
No, no. No, she
did not. Yes, yes, she did.
He had not mentioned any political aspirations when they met.
That's not true.
Hold on, Tony. He's a constitutional lawyer. That's political. He knew he was going to run for political office.
He didn't. Obama was picked to be in the position he was in. He didn't know that.
Yes, exactly.
He was a constitutional lawyer. He was the president of Harvard.
He knew he was gonna
go into politics, man. You don't major in what else do you major in constitutional law for? What else do you do that for besides politics?
He was one of the lawyers in the biggest law firm in Chicago. He could have been making six figures or more for the rest of his life. He didn't have to go into politics.
Okay, once again, why would you go into constitutional law? Why?
Because a constitutional lawyer is the person that can argue cases in front of the Supreme Court, which means you can make big money.
And that's politics, right?
No, that's money. That's business.
You make more. You make way more money being a corporate lawyer than you will be arguing in front of the Supreme Court. You know that, right?
No, that is not true. It's all about who your connections are.
All right.
You guys are just. I mean that whole thing about Barack and Michelle. You guys are to be ashamed of yourselves. That is not going to happen.
Plus he's a black man too. Plus he's a black male too. So it's easy to throw a brother under the bus. So you know, it's
and that's exactly what you just did.
Who in college knows?
How is that? People in college know they're gonna be the president.
About this is the thing that makes me think about, you know, black folks with Barack.
Who in college knows he's going to be the president? I don't know. The answer to your question is, David. I don't know. That's the answer to your question.
Okay. I mean, because he took a particular major because he had high level political aspirations. But I'm trying to figure out, just because you have a background in a particular area doesn't mean you're going to be president.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. We're talking about politics. We didn't say president though.
We're talking about politics. He was a senator before he was president.
I remember, like, he was talking about when he met Michelle Obama's brother, and he was telling Michelle Obama's brother that, you know, maybe he has aspirations of running for president. So that tells me before they were even together that he before they were married, that is, that he had aspirations of becoming president.
I don't believe that. There is no way.
Have you stopped to even realize how Barack Obama ended up in the position he ended up in? The only reason why Barack Obama ended up in the position that he ended up in is truly through God. Why? Because in his first election, he lost to a black man overwhelmingly. And then when he ran for the state senate, the only reason he won the state senate seat is because the state senate guy he was running against had to drop out, and he won that election. And then when he ran for the national senate seat in Chicago, the same damn thing happened again. The Republican had to drop out of the race. That's why he won the election. God has been on his side in elections from the beginning. So, you know, it ain't been all Barack Obama. He has truly had luck on his side, because the two races that he had, he ended up having because his opponents dropped out.
On a
side note, I don't want to change the subject, though, but have you ever thought about the fact that Bobby is a senator?
Who?
Who?
Bobby. Y'all know Bobby's a senator, right?
Bobby who?
Remember Bobby from FAMU? He's a senator.
Oh. And for who?
In Florida.
Oh, he's a state senator?
Yeah.
The wrestling guy, Bobby?
Yeah, yes. Bobby. Bobby, what are you doing? Yes, he's a senator.
He's running for senator.
I got to see his face.
You guys didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that. Yeah,
I thought he's running. Is he a senator, or he's running for senator?
No, he's a senator. He's been. I thought y'all knew. I thought y'all knew. He's been. Y'all not friends with him on Facebook. He's been a senator for like 3 years now.
No, I didn't know. What's his
I
last name?
Either.
Huh?
What county?
Bobby what?
Palm Beach.
What's his last name?
Bobby. Mike. I only know one Bobby from FAMU, but yeah.
I didn't know it. I mean, I thought he was still wrestling.
No, apparently he had political aspirations.
He was still wrestling in his 30s?
Yeah, Tony, he's a senator, bro. It's the wildest, but he's a senator. And I think he still might wrestle, too. I don't know if he stopped. What's Bobby's last name? Damn it. Bobby Jenkins.
Bobby Sanford.
Yeah, he's on my Yeah, just look up the state senator from Palm Beach, and you'll see Bobby standing there smiling.
I'm not friends with the Bobby talking about that Cali Mike.
I gotta go, fellas. My battery's dying.
All right, man. Mike, it's only one Bobby that we all know. It's the same Bobby, the wrestler.
On his page, he said he works at Indie Pro Wrestling, Fast Independent Wrestling Championship Wrestling Entertainment.
Hold on one second.
He got a picture of his wrestling gear on, so that's what I'm saying. Maybe a Bobby talking about, I'm not friends with that Bobby, then what you talking about.
Thank you. Yeah, if you look up, I can't think of what his last name is, but no, Bobby. I'm certain he has two. He has two pages too. He has his personal page, and then he has his senator page. So yeah, I thought you guys knew that.
No, I didn't know.
Oh yeah, he is. You're right. He is a senator. Yep.
What's his name?
Bobby Powell.
Bobby Powell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, let me see. Bobby Powell.
What kind of mess is that, man? Let me look this.
it's funny because when I
I'm not friends with him, Mike. I gotta see his picture, man. I ain't friends with him.
You remember Bob, Mike? There's only one Bobby that used to hang out with in the lobby. I think you used to hang out with him more than I did. Remember, there's only one wrestling Bobby at FAMU.
The other Bobby I'm friends with is Bobby Sanford.
It's the same guy, though. It's the same guy.
I don't know.
Maybe he uses a different name or something.
It's the same guy, though. Yeah, he has two profiles.
Yeah, I told you, yeah.
Yeah, I thought everybody knew that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I might be. Maybe I was the only one who knew. You don't remember when he was campaigning? Oh man, I don't know. Maybe he didn't hit y'all up. Yeah, he hit me up when he was campaigning and everything. Yeah, I knew about it for a while.
He said he lives in Delray Beach.
Yeah,
he's been a senator. He's been a senator for like 3 years now, or going on 2 years, or going on 3 years. But yeah, but anyway, I mean, like I said, going to switch back to Obama, I wouldn't be surprised, man. I don't know. Like I said, Michelle, I mean. I liked her when I first, you know, when she first came, you know, because she was elegant, you know, she was ladylike. But then, you know, she just kind of, her whole time that he's been in office, she's been rubbing me wrong the whole way, man. You know.
Why is she rubbing you wrong the way?
With the dancing, and when she said that she would want to be, you know, Beyonce and, you know.
Exactly.
You know, when she said she was a single mother and. You know, then did you, you know, I mean, I understand that she's trying to be hip, but it's like, there is some decorum. I mean, you're the first lady. There is some decorum that needs to come with that, you know. Then did you see the commercial she just did with LeBron and D-Wade and all them, you know, when they were in the White House? And, you know, it's like, I don't know, man. Maybe, you know, it just seems like she kind of like, maybe she sees it, you know, she can get the spotlight on her. I don't know, you know.
I don't know, something suspicious about that marriage, man.
I mean,
I don't know, like, I just noticed certain things, man. You know, I mean, I understand everybody has problems. I understand every relationship has some set of problems, particularly when you get married. But, you know, you can tell when you have problems, and then you can tell when some people got serious problems that they're trying to cover up. Like, I think Beyonce and Jay-Z are kind of in that range now where they probably got serious problems, but they're trying to cover it up by showing pictures with each other, smiling and stuff like that, but deep down they probably got some issues underneath the surface. And I think Barack Obama and Michelle are kind of on that same level, too. And
oh,
I understand,
when you got a grown woman doing an interview and saying that she's a single mother, that's a red flag to me.
And then, like I said, she didn't want...
Even when they asked her to clarify it, she could have just said, oh, I made a mistake or I slipped up. She did not. She tried to justify it by saying, you know, well, he's gone, you know, about now he's not around and all. It's like, bitch, he's the president. What do you expect? You know?
Kind of messes. A single mother. I don't know, man. The hair hats, man. Like Thomas so much.
I swear, it's getting worse, dude. Every time you turn around, something amazing is happening, and it's like, golly, you know, it's like, did that just happen? But honestly, I'm not even going to be kidding with you guys.
I was watching Lean On Me yesterday, man. Have y'all seen Lean On Me, the movie?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Think about it, man. Out of all the people... Who's trying to stop Morgan Freeman? Who is trying to stop him the hardest?
The hair
hat. That crazy ass looking black. Thank you, brother.
With the hair hat on, yep.
Think about it. Look at what's the other movie? Look at Coach Carter. Out of all the people that's trying to stop Coach Carter, who's trying to stop him? The principal.
The one with
you
the
know
hair.
Who's, I mean, it's like, you know, it doesn't stop, dude. It's like, golly. You know, I mean, you know, and I'm telling, and if it's setting a precedent up for Hollywood, if it's setting a big enough precedent to where Hollywood notices it and they write it in the movies and we don't even pay it any attention, that means it's getting too big and we need to do something about it, man. I mean, the division between, you know, black men and women is insane now. You know.
Yep. Royce Reed, the Adrian Peterson's baby, all his baby mamas, the one that came out and spoke out against them was, you know.
Yep.
It's just, you know, it's just a constant thing.
Look at the one who got his son, who ended up getting his son killed with that Asian man, you know.
Yep.
Or the older. No, I think she might have been. Was she white, though? I don't know. Maybe she might have been white.
That was a white woman. Yeah, yeah. No, but I'm saying all the women that came out and spoke out against Adrian Peterson publicly.
And they chose when his child died to come and start speaking out too, which was really classy on their part. It's just, you know, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, I think it's part of our culture, but, you know, like I said, I think it's a subject that we as people got to quit hiding from. You know, it's like black people, we like to hide from certain subjects. Seriously, we like to hide from certain subjects instead of just looking at them and going, okay, let's deal with this or let's deal with that. You know, we like to hide from stuff, and then, you know, and then we hide from it so long, it gets out of, you know, like the single mother epidemic. You know, we hid from it so long, now it's out of control. You know, now it's cool to be a baby mom, but we didn't want to talk about it for so many years. You know, now it's out of control.
Yep.
You know, and it's like this. You know, this growing division. I mean, like I, you know, it's like I put this question up on Facebook the other day. Imagine you getting off of work. You had a long day of work, and you have to go to the DMV or the post office. Who do you hate? Who do you imagine you do not want to see behind that counter when you go up to that damn post office? And you already know what your answer is too. You already know. And that's sad, you know. And I'm being honest. And that's sad, you know. It's like we gotta do something about that, man. I mean, it's like I say, when other races start picking up on stuff, it's like, you know, it's gone out of control, you know.
Yeah. Hey, you got something to say, David? Oh, sorry.
No, yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, what y'all was? I don't know what y'all was talking about.
We kind of switched topics, just kind of talking about the image, you know, just getting put out and projected of, you know, a bad attitude, you know, not, you know, what is it? What can I say? Just divisive black woman just getting put out into the media, and it seems like, you know, the whole thing with the attitude is something that has been kind of part of. It's almost become an accepted part of black culture. I think that, you meet a woman with the attitude of black woman, and it's almost become accepted. You know, it's almost like rare when you meet one that doesn't, you know, that doesn't have attitude. And it doesn't even have to be a bad attitude, but it's some kind of attitude. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I meet chicks with attitude, but it don't really bother me. It's like whatever. I just don't fuck with those.
But that's what I'm saying. Is it because it's become accepted though, almost? I mean, I meet chicks with attitude too. And I mean, sometimes a little attitude can be cute. You know, I ain't gonna lie. You know, but then it's like sometimes, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, we're all in these different, you know, we're all in these different black groups, and you know, we're all in these different black groups online. I mean, have y'all ever just gotten to an argument with a girl and she's just making no sense, and it's like, what the hell are you even talking about? You know?
Yeah.
And they refuse to stop. You know, and it's like, it's just, you know, like I said, what, you know, and other races are picking up on that, you know? It's like, you can't, you know, look at all the commercials that you see. Every commercial you see got a black woman snapping her fingers and you know, and twisting her neck and, you know, and got some sort of sass. And, girl, you better know, you know, like, the Progressive commercial with Flo, and then the black lady came in there, Flo, you know, and they always talk loud and they always be ugly and overweight, you know. It's just, you know, it's just like, I think, you know, we need to talk about the way that, you know, we're, you know, that the media is portraying our women. And, you know, and how, you know, and how we're letting them be portrayed, you know, because we can't really argue with them that it's a false portrayal when you got, you know, Love and Hip Hop and all these crazy shows that show these chicks doing the same thing that they do in the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, man. I mean, I really don't watch TV, so I'm kind of missing that part, that aspect of it. But in real life,
you know, I tell you the truth, I don't watch that much either, David. But I see, like, the little promos and stuff, you know, like when I'm on the computer, or like, you know, sometimes they'll show the highlights, like on World Star or something crazy, you know, and it just seems like it's insane, you know, and it's just, I don't know. That's the thing, Claudia. We might have to do a special show where we get some bros on here and talk to them about that, because I want to know what they think about that. It kind of, you know, it's funny, like, you get females that'll, like, you know, they'll boycott certain stuff, but then they won't boycott for Love and Hip Hop. You know, and that, you know, and that kind of, you know, that's always kind of been a wonderment to me. It's like, okay, y'all don't like it when this happens, but, you know, you don't mind these chicks getting on TV acting a fool, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe we could reach, I don't know, shit, maybe we could reach out to Kim Pate. Who's the, is anybody friends with her off of his hook? Get her to come on here. Talk about why she's doing what she does.
I'm friends with her.
Kim Pate?
Yeah, Kim Pate, a.k.a. Kim Michelle.
Oh, that's Kay Michelle? Oh.
You didn't know that?
Yeah, you didn't know
that?
Yeah,
I know she went to that. She became Miss FAMU the year I graduated, so I kind of never really got to notice her.
You don't remember when we used to go to Hooters and she used to be in, like, she used to come by the lobby sometimes. You remember Kim? She was cool.
No.
And she used to work at Hooters.
Yeah, she
showed she was like the only black girl that worked at Hooters.
I can't remember. Only girl I remember was Royce Reed. That's the only one I remember.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember Royce.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I remember Kim more than I remember Royce.
I remember Kim. I was like, hey, Miss Kim, you know, Miss Nessus, you know, hey, how you doing? We always calling, always seeing them when we walking on campus and stuff.
Yeah, she had a real deep country accent like this, Kim Pate.
Yep, no. She was
Tampa, but that was like
the audition. She had that, you know, I saw the freshman orientation thing when they had that contest. Trying to think of the concert or something like that. She did the singing and stuff like that. She had a voice then when she was singing.
Well, she was at FAMU for a Yodeling. She had a Yodeling scholarship, dude.
Yeah, but she had that. Remember, they had that freshman orientation where they had, like, I guess, a concert or something in one of the auditoriums, and she was in there singing. She was in the contest.
Yeah.
She was on the stage singing. She had that voice. Like, yeah, that girl could sing.
She seemed like she acted more mature then she does right now.
No, like, no, back in FAMU, she was super cool, dude. That's what I'm saying. She was, you know, she was super cool. But, you know, When I first saw her, I didn't recognize her either. Cause, well, first of all, she had on a huge red hair hat and that big fake ass, you know. But like I said, I didn't recognize. You know, I mean, it's like, look at, you know. I mean, I understand there's money involved, but damn, just think how she transformed, you know.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I didn't know you didn't know that was her. Remember, she used to hang around with those dudes from Memphis. They used to do that dancing all the time too.
I don't even remember, man. I remember the dudes from Memphis, but I don't remember her. I just don't remember her.
They all used to talk like this, shawty.
Yeah, I remember the dudes from Memphis. I know who you're talking about, but I just don't remember her, man. The only person I remember was Royce.
Yeah, she was cool. But, you know, another example of somebody who got in front of the camera and started acting a fool.
That's what I said, man. When y'all look for y'all wives, man, they got that hair hat on, man. Well, I don't know, Mike, Kelly, Shatown, you might be cool. You might be cool. You ain't got nothing to worry about, man. You know, I think you cool. But, but Kelly, Mike, you know what I mean, man.
Yeah, no, most definitely. It's a warning. Once you, like I say, especially the colored hair hats. Once you start seeing different colors, it's like, oh, hell no.
No, because it says something about their attitude, probably, man.
No, that's real talk.
It's the truth, that's man. Because I'm married now, man, but I'm just reflecting. I'm married, but I'm reflecting. When I listen to Tommy, man, he says some stuff, and that just makes me reflect on the past, man. And I'm thinking, like, dang,
man.
He may have a point there. He may have a point there with some of the stuff he has to say with these hair hats.
Man. Remember that one time we were in the lobby and those girls came in there? And they start cursing you out, and you didn't even know them. Remember? Remember it was that ugly African girl and that other girl she had on a hair hat? Remember?
Oh, yeah. She had a hair hat on,
I got to tell you her name. What happened?
I do remember her. Her name's Achi, or Lucia, or something like that. I'm actually first one on Facebook, but her name is Aluchi, Achi, whatever her name is. I don't remember her name. She's African. She's African with a hair hat on. With a hair hat on. With a hair hat. Yeah, I remember that shit.
Yo, Wilder.
I'm telling you, dude, that's kind of like I say, I know Tommy goes too far sometimes, but everything he says is funny because I started relating to it from stuff that happened at FAMU. You know, like with the bad attitudes, with the red weeds, with the girls that only talk to thugs, you know, it's like, the same thing is like, damn, you know, that's the one thing I say about Tommy. You know, folks can say that he's a jerk or he's whatever, but they never call him a liar. You know, they never say he's lying, you know. And that's the one thing. It's like, dude, you know, you can't ever say dude is lying, because that city can be on point. You might not like it, you know, but it's gonna be the truth. No, you know, that's for damn sure. But yeah, anyway, we're about to run up against time, so do you guys have anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'm good, man.
All right, let's go ahead and wrap things up. I want to thank everybody for coming out. Join us next week. Once again, CMT Firestorm, thank you guys for coming out. We'll holler at you later. All right, fellas.
One time for the Floyd Mayweather football.
Bye-bye, everybody.
All right.